Before we get to Rob and Akiva need a podcast, episode 9, your tweets are trash. I want to take a moment and thank our friends over at TrueCar who are anything but, because they've got some useful tips for you that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You can remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place a keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Weird tips, yes, I will grant you that. But here's a tip that you might not know about. TrueCar will help you get a great deal on a used car, not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. So you'll be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a TrueCar certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Because I don't think I'll be happy if that's next week's episode. And I think that's what we should just. Now, is there anything you could take something off the wheel? Is there anything you want to take off? Because I have one thing I'd like to take off.
What is the one thing you want to take off?
I think Rob and Akiva have a PR firm is not a fleshed out enough idea to be on the wheel yet.
Okay, I'm with you. We could take that off. I was going to nominate your tweets are trash.
So here's the thing about your tweets are trash. I have a very specific idea for that episode. Would you like me to tell it to you, and then you're going to edit it out of what we're saying?
Why? Why would I edit it out?
Well, because I want it to be a surprise. If you don't like it, we're just you'll leave this in, and we'll take it out. But if you like it, you're going to edit it out because I want it to be a surprise when it happens.
I want to keep it in either way.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. All right. Fine. And let's then.
But when the spin comes, here's the twist. If the spin comes, I'm going to tell you the idea. If you don't like the idea, we're going to pretend like that spin never happened, and we're going to re-spin. Because that's my only idea for your tweets are trash. Okay. And I think it's good, but you might not like it. You'll understand
No, here's the thing. I'm committed at this point. If I don't like it.
Fine. But you have to think of an idea if you don't like my idea. You have to top my idea.
Okay. No, we're going with like your idea. We're going to go with your idea, but we're going to say it's your
idea. Okay, fine. You might hate it. I already have a guest committed for that episode.
Okay. Is it Shut Up Tim?
No, it's much better than Shut Up Tim.
Rob and Akiva need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it on to the wheel? Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll buy or sell your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll bill every weekend. You better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Rob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yes, we are back. Rob Cesternino here with Akiva Winokur. Keeve, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited / nervous to be here today.
This is the highly anticipated Your Tweets Are Trash episode, which was selected to be actually episode number 8 of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. It turns out to be episode number 9 after last week we did a surprise Seinfeld podcast on the backwards episode. Keeve, I feel like that the reception was not what I expected. I thought that people would have been like, yes, kings, Rob and Akiva are back talking Seinfeld. But I felt like that it was very understated, the response.
Yeah, I guess people maybe had their fill of that episode when you podcasted about it 12 months
ago. So.
But I agree. Yeah. It was pretty tepid response. But maybe people are done with Seinfeld.
Maybe.
They're just R-A-N-A-P fans.
Maybe.
Now.
Not nearly the positive response that we got to the Leprechaun podcast in episode number 7.
You know what they say? Leprechaun is way more popular than Seinfeld, the most popular show in television history.
Yes. Okay. Akiva, so tell us about what you have in store for us today.
All right. So my premise for Your Tweets Are Trash, which is, I think, my only idea that's on the wheel, was we. All right. I think this would be better explained if I brought on someone to help me explain. I don't know if I could explain this myself to you because you don't know what's going on today.
No.
So can I get a phone a friend? Is that on
sure
the wheel?
Sure thing. Sure thing. What do you want to do?
All right. Hold on one second. Beep, 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 beep. All right. Is anybody here?
I like the idea.
idea that you're just like pounding your desk as though that is a phone. You have a very hard dialing tactic, Akiva. I've never been on a phone call with you before or seen you operate a phone, but you're really just, you're smashing the thing.
Well, I had no plan.
Gosh.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Good God, that's Josh Wiggler's music.
It's the mayor of Wimpville. I was hoping Rob would just bring you in, because obviously I have no mechanism to bring you in, but I realized at a certain point I was alone on an island and I had to pretend.
For future random Josh Wiggler insertions, which sounds like a terrible thing.
He's already volunteering to come back, Rob. Yes.
Out of context, I do hope that the way to get me in is just knocking heavily on some sort of hard substance.
This desk is like very thick wood, and I was just smashing it.
Okay, all right. So,
hi guys, hey, oh my gosh,
Josh Wiggler is here, and I believe is this the first time that we've had Josh Wiggler and Akiva on a podcast together?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, first time. We've been ducking each other for years.
Yes,
we're like Mayweather and Pacquiao if they were both bad.
I see you across the way at the podcasting parties that Rob throws biannually, and I stare you down from across the room, like, oh, so that's Rob's other best friend, and it's always a little bit tense. Like, you can kind of just like cut it with a knife.
Yes. Yeah, we see each other at like the conferences, union meetings, things like that, the podcast awards, the podcasties. But it's not, our paths have never really crossed before.
Yes. But it's like the antimatter theory. Like, if you were to meet your double, and if you were to, like, it's like, Time Cop, when the two Ron Silvers meet, and the universe just cannot fit them both, and they both just, like, turn into this glob of nonsense, and they fade out from existence.
No, that's not what's going to happen.
The concern is that what's going to happen when Akiva and I are both on a podcast together? Or are we going to save the universe?
I think
we could just make
universe.
Fun of Rob the whole time. Also,
that's
we could just
fine.
Like talk
I'm,
about
I'm here for that.
Podcasting
I'm totally,
with Rob.
No,
and,
we
like,
need to get to
stories.
Your tweets are trash, Akiva. People want to hear
if,
about a tweet that's trashy
what
tweets.
If it's your tweets that are trash, Rob.
Oh, no.
What if that's what we're here to spring upon you?
Okay. Well, we do need to start to get into it, because then we have a lot of stuff to get to on the wheel in this episode. That we have a backlog of stuff for the wheel, and I've been reading articles about how there's too much banter on the opening of podcasts. People want you to, us to get
this
right
one
down
in particular, or all podcasts.
All podcasts. I've been reading. I feel like that I've
That's
seen
absurd.
A lot of articles about how one of the problems with podcasting: too much banter in the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
I think that's like the good stuff. People want us to get to like the content. No, I don't think so.
I don't know. That's one of the things that I read today.
So it's like, oh, I like you guys, but not when you're just talking, having fun. I want this has to be more serious endeavor. Are you getting complaints, or are you just
reading this on podcast review forums? On News AF, which is another podcast that I do, that there was a iTunes review about how that there's too much banter. And then I'm in a couple of podcasting groups, and there was a article that was published about like what's wrong with podcasting? Why hasn't podcasting taken off? And that was
too
one
much
of the things.
Banter.
Too much banter in the opening of the shows, and not quickly enough getting to the content.
Josh, can I tell you my theory about Rob?
Yes, of course.
If one like person says something meanly, he ignores it. But if someone says something nicely, he'll like take the comment to heart. But it's just like one stupid person's opinion still. And if two people say something, then he thinks it's like the gospel truth.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Two people.
But I think one mean comment sticks in Rob's craw. I think like you really let that swirl around in your noggin for at least a few hours afterwards. Like if there's a Reddit thread about how Rob from the Amazon was sexist, you're going to like have
what
like
mean,
a nuclearly
if?
Bad day. You're just going to have the worst day humanly possible. So I think like the positive stuff, I feel like you're like, it's nice. It's great to hear that feedback, but it's really, I feel like it's the bad stuff that really sticks in your craw.
Well, it's not the one thread. I think Akiva is probably closer to it, where it's that when somebody starts the thread and then it's not immediately repudiated, where there's like, oh, I know, right? Isn't he the worst? Yeah, so that's when it's the confirmation that really gets me upset.
I think that the this complaint about too much banter at the top of the podcast, I wonder if, at least in the RHAP universe, if that such a complaint exists, if that complaint would be mitigated if the banter was replaced by, like, the pre-podcast banter, right? Like, the before we get on the record and before we're actually starting to record, like, if people were able to listen to the candid conversations that last sometimes up to a half an hour before we even start recording, I feel like that would be the juicy material that people... I would put that on the wheel, frankly. I would recommend that as, like, as a possible podcast of just, like, a very candid, not even supposed to be on the record conversation. I think people would get a kick out of that.
Okay. That's interesting.
Maybe that's like the like a $75 a month patron levels. You get to hear everything from the second the guest gets on the phone.
You, right. You wiretap my
yeah, no deletions. Also, like, it has to stay in.
Yeah,
for that $75 a month
camera on what's going on here. Okay, my big switch is that I think that, you know, put the banter at the end of the show. I think that people like that. And actually, and this is the one podcast, the Robin and Akiva Need a Podcast. The podcast is all banter. There's almost no subject matter.
This is a podcast about nothing.
Yeah.
You literally have a podcast about nothing. It is the perfect
evolution.
I think
we already did that, though.
Yeah.
There's an illusion of content, but it's basically all banter.
I thought that was the last podcast. You're saying that's this one?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay,
maybe it's a theme with me.
But, you know, Josh does need to get back to work at some point today. So
I don't want to.
He doesn't
want to.
But he has to. Okay. All right, Akiva, let's no more messing around. It's time to get to the tweets are trash.
Yeah, let's get serious with tweets are trash. So Josh and I have had very few interactions with each other. But one thing we did notice at some point on the website twitter.com over the last few years is we have the same, I don't want to say frenemy, foe, enemy. I don't know. What would you say, Josh? How would you describe it?
I think once upon a time I would have considered him a foe. And I think that it has veered closer to frenemy. And at the risk of complicating the premise of this podcast, dare I say it is veering closer to friend territory these days.
Oh, this is terrible. Well, let's find someone
else. News. It's bad news.
Yes. So we had the same person who we've really the only times we cross the Twitter streets together would be if we were both dunking on or making fun of this person. And one time, this person was going after somebody. I can't see who it was because the tweet was deleted. But Josh said, this was perhaps your least self-aware tweet ever. And I said, Josh, would you ever come on 32 Fans, which is not this podcast?
Yes.
And rank this person's 10 worst tweets ever. And that tweet was on June 29th, 2017. So it was over a year ago.
Wow. A
lifetime
ago.
And I sort of forgot about it. And I switched to a different podcast, and we invented RANEP also. And here we go. I needed a podcast where there was even less of structure as the one with Chester, and where Chester and I just talk about, like, ranking cereals. And we found one here. And so today we're going to rank Josh and I, and possibly Rob's, Twitter foes 10 worst or at least most apropos tweets of all time.
Okay.
Yes. And that person is, and there's about 390 people who know that person is, because that's how many followers he has.
Okay.
And that would be the famous RHAP troll, maybe the greatest RHAP troll of all time, T-Dub himself, at NoFate 1991.
All right. So, all right.
Rob hates this. He hates it so much right off the bat. This is a non-starter for Rob Sesternino.
Yes. Yeah. Should I come up with a new idea, Rob?
Well, I've talked about that I've had Vito FOMO for a couple of weeks coming into this podcast.
Uncle
this
Vito?
Not an episode. So I am a skeptic coming in when Akiva revealed to me that the episode was going to be about going through T-Dub's Twitter and ranking T-Dub's tweets.
For anyone who doesn't know who T-Dub is, and that may be many
hopefully
of
most
you,
people. Yes.
Most people, T-Dub is Twitter's very best Florida man, who is a Survivor fan, is more famously a fan of all things James Cameron, specifically the number one box office smash hit of all time, James Cameron's Avatar, which yes. almost everybody else has forgotten all yes. of these years.
I would say,
later.
And I never liked.
I've never seen it, and I will never see it. But yeah, I would say everyone has forgotten it, other than maybe this. You know, this in spite of, or perhaps because of his efforts to remind everyone every day about the, you know, 2000 whatever film Avatar that nobody cares about.
Yeah. But he is like the Pandora Justice Warrior. He is out there on the mean streets of Twitter.
The PJW?
Yeah, he's a PJW. Like everywhere, like anytime anybody on Twitter says a mean thing about Avatar, T-Dub materializes like the Candyman or Beetlejuice. He shows up and he is there to correct them about their false opinions on Avatar, or to remind them of a tweet that they tweeted long ago, back when Avatar actually had come out and they were positive on the movie, and over the course of the years, their positive feelings have subsided. Dub will unearth those old tweets. He will take time out of his presumably busy schedule to just police the Twitter sphere for all of the bad Avatar takes. And as a result, it produces this ridiculous persona of this man who has a golf avatar. I believe that's Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
avatar?
Rob once said, I don't think the avatar is him. Yeah. And I said, Rob, that is Tim Tebow, the future New York Met, Tim Tebow.
Well, it's not impossible that T-Dub is Tim Tebow. I mean,
that
we
would
just
be interesting.
We just don't know. We have no idea who T-Dub actually
is. More likely it's James Cameron.
I know Antonio Mazzaro has his theories about the secret identity of one T-Dub. I have taken to calling him Matthew. That is my leading theory, that he is a man named Matthew based on a VHS tape that he tweeted a picture of once upon a time. The label said for Matthew, if I'm remembering correctly.
I didn't know that Josh did such a deep dive into his identity also. Yeah.
Well, it's not so much a deep dive as I've been observing along the way. You know, I'm not a super prolific tweeter, but right. I'm always lurking. I'm always watching. I'm always there. I'm seeing your tweets. Your tweets are often trash, people, and I am here to monitor the garbage from a distance. And I have been marking the evolution of T-Dub for quite some time. My first T-Dub interaction on Twitter, I blocked him for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I had him blocked. He was very upset about it. He called me out. He said to Rob, if you can find the tweet, it's somewhere back in, I don't know, like 2012 or something like that, where he said, at Rob Cesternino, your boy at Round Howard is a coward. He's blocking people. T-Dub does not like to be blocked. And I had blocked T-Dub over he came at me a little hot when I myself was feeling a little heated about the state of the world and some of the bad things that were happening in it. I unblocked him, and since then, we've been mostly good. Yeah. There was a brief unfollow period once upon a time.
Ooh. Okay, let me weigh in with a couple of things also here.
Okay.
Sure. About this, that with all due respect to T-Dub, that I almost feel like that the idea of your tweets are trash, where most of Twitter.com is an inferno burning tire fire of bots and hate, and so most of Twitter is trash. And I would say even the fact that T-Dub is not making incoherent, hateful sentiments, that I do feel like that his Twitter thus is not trash.
Oh, that's a hot take. I will say, because I don't know if you guys know this, but to do this podcast, because I'm nothing if not prepared, I went through all 45,100 of T-Dub's tweets.
Okay.
And some of that, listen, nobody's ever said Akiva's the best podcaster, but sometimes people say he's one of the most thorough.
Yes.
Now, by the way, if you want to do the math, he has 45,000 tweets and 394 followers. So for every 1,100 tweets, he gets one. as opposed to the three of us who have like a follower per tweet or a follower for every two tweets ratio. He has one for every 1,100.
Yeah. Wow. I never looked at the economics of followers per tweet.
I do kind of feel like those of us who are in the less than 400 club with T-Dub, I do feel like we are part of a movement. We are witnessing something that is, in its own way, fairly magical. I do think that the anonymity of the guy, the very, very, you know, unshakable dedication to whether you want to call it an avatar bit or really just his truth. It's hard to tell sometimes whether he means it or it's just he's leaning into the curve at this point. It's just it's kind of incredible. It's kind of mythical. In that regard, I think I do side a little bit more with Mr. Sesternino when it comes to T-Dub's tweets.
It is a 10-year bit at this point, and it really sort of hit its crescendo, if you remember, Josh, last Christmas. And for me, I'm a Jewish person. I don't celebrate Christmas, but last year I did. Because one of the biggest, I don't want to say trolls, but maybe the weirdest guy on weird Twitter, caught wind of T-Dub's bit and sort of screen grabbed like hundreds of his avatar tweets.
Yes.
It started with him tweeting this guy, 9 of 10 American households celebrate Christmas. So statistically speaking, there is most likely at least one family whose cherished tradition is gathering in the den and watching Avatar. And they're very sad. And T-Dub comes back with, you know, there are worse things you could do on Christmas than watch a movie nominated for Best Picture and Best Director, which celebrates respecting the environment and overcoming one's physical disability. You're sad. Merry Christmas, pal. So, and then it started, and then it got a little messy, and then, all right, that was it. But that was really sort of like the peak of the whole T-Dub experience. And I think since then he's been nicer and less trolly. But if you do Twitter searches like him, his name and blocked, a lot of fun stuff does come up.
If I may also just add a second thing. There was only one other time that I can recall that Akiva did a really big deep dive into one person's social media backstory and really elevated a social media profile to garner a lot of attention. And that only happened one time before in a now deleted episode of the 32 Fan Podcast.
By the way, this episode may only be up for hours.
So I guess what I would say is, what could go wrong here today to really do a deep dive into what's going on in the T-Dub Twitter account?
It was one of the things I thought about when I went through the 45,100 tweets. Like, if there was something truly horrific, I think I would have just like stopped. But
so you vetted
really,
him. So you're, is
I
what you're
vetted
saying,
him. There was definitely stuff that I person wouldn't be proud of. But I did. I also saw, unlike the last time, someone sort of improving over time rather than getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me, I guess, was okay. But listen, people, if they hate him so much, don't listen. And this will be the only episode we ever do about him. And don't make us delete it.
Yes,
and have two in a year.
You know, and check out the show notes for when we get to the wheel spin.
No, but we're going to play a game after this that has nothing to do with T-Dub. After his top 10 tweets, we have a Twitter game.
Okay, all right.
And then we'll let Josh go.
All right, so please.
I'm actually really excited to revisit what you are deciding as T-Dub's 10 worst tweets, his trashiest tweets. I think that this is going to be fun. Right. I think that this is going to be a great time. I don't know if anyone else is going to enjoy it, but I'm really here for it.
I'd say this will be Antonio Mazzaro's favorite episode, but other than like the three of us, I don't know if anyone else.
More than Leprechaun?
Yeah, he didn't like Leprechaun, I don't think. All right, so number 10.
Are you speculating or he told you he didn't like it?
No, I am sure he loved it. I was just being self-deprecating. He probably liked it. Just to give people who aren't familiar with him more of a feel for T-Dub other than the Avatar stuff, here's his number 10. My recommendation, if you don't like Survivor, theme parks, and a spirited debate, please unfollow me. Thanks. That's really what you're getting. You're getting the Holy Trinity is Avatar, Survivor, theme parks, in particular Disney. He is a grown man. I'd say he's about 40. Josh, would you say that's correct? 38, 40?
It's hard to know. It's really hard to tell. He could be 5, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you think he's ever throwing us off the scent by lying about certain things?
He's like the Zodiac Killer. It's hard to know. Yeah. There's so many different theories about who and, frankly, what he could be.
Like, we know he's a lawyer. We think he's about 40. We know he's from Florida. I think he's a Jacksonville Jaguars fan.
Look, I'm not trying to dox T-Dub.
No, no, actually we don't. I specifically do not, absolutely do not dox him or anybody else. Don't, do not dox. But I'm just saying, like, just in terms of the information he's given us, I think that's basically what we know. Yes, but Josh was talking about blocking. This one, he often blocks people or unfollows them.
Are we officially in the canon of the top 10 worst tweets?
Yeah, that was number 10. Okay, that was number 10.
So you've ranked them ahead of time.
I've ranked them ahead of time. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm not asking you to grade them or anything. Okay. You guys don't have to do anything.
This is coming up now as the number 9 worst tweet.
Yes, number 9. And okay. Some of them have like two or three. It's a theme, but some of them are just one tweet.
Okay.
So he likes to tell you, in very awkwardly, if like you aren't performing to his level on Twitter. So number 9, we have at Julia Sokolowski, who is a survivor, like a 20-year-old survivor. So mm-hmm. Definitely someone a 40-year-old man should be attacking.
Can you also can you give us the date on these for context?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I can. So this is October 25th, 2016. So okay. 2 years ago. Here's the tweet. Earned an unfollow for being uninteresting and failure to interact. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. That's at Julia Sokolowski.
There is
a 21-year-old girl.
There is this thing about T-Dub and those in the T-Dub vicinity, like
sphere.
In that vortex where
the extended T-Dub universe.
There in the cinematic universe, where there is this buzzword that both enrages me and kind of delights me to some degree, just from like a train wrecky perspective, and that word is interact. T-Dub does not like it when reality stars do not interact with their fans. That severely directly impacts his enjoyment and his judgment of said person. So if Julia is not interacting with Twitter fans, I am not shocked that he is coming for her wig.
Mm-hmm.
Unfollowing and letting them know, because that's Rob. Yes. Rob and Josh, you guys both have a lot of followers. That's really why I have you guys here. I'm trying to figure out how I could get verified and have a lot of followers. Well, first you want to get a lot of followers and then get verified, because my theory is if you have like 2,000 followers and you're verified, that looks like you suck. But if you have like 20,000 followers and you're not verified, that looks like you're good. You know what I mean? You don't want to be verified until you have 5 or 6 thousand.
You want to be in a 5-figure range for the verification.
Yeah, or at least high 4 figures, and then otherwise it's like, oh yeah, that guy works for like a newspaper with 400 readers, and he's verified, but he's got like 12 followers.
Now, Akiva, did you follow up to see that has T-Dub come back around on Julia Sokolowski?
I should ask. He could update us. But she did respond to that tweet with, wow, I'm so heartbroken, which got a lot of likes.
I do think, though, with T-Dub, one of the great sort of gaming aspects of interacting with T-Dub on Twitter is it is tremendously fun to either dunk on T-Dub yourself or to watch somebody else dunk T-Dub and to gift that person with a like. A lot of that is because I feel like he seems like he's a decent sport about it, or at least he can take it. It's very enjoyable to watch him weather just like a very pure, you've been taken down, your tweets are trash type of moment.
Because he's like negging her, basically, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it didn't work. Interaction. No, why would he follow someone like who hasn't been on Survivor in a few years, like who unfollowed him. I assume that they never came around. But sometimes he does win people over. A couple other ones I liked along the same vein is he tweeted that he's obsessed with children's amusement parks, mostly Disney.
Okay, is this number 8? Is this number 8?
No, this is still part of number 9.
This is 9B?
This is 9B, and there's a 9C, yeah. So he tweeted at a guy who calls himself a professor of theme park economics. Tired of my legitimate questions being ignored. So, at Banks Lee, you are blocked until further notice. Okay.
What about Banks Lee? Did Banks Lee have any response to that?
I don't think so, because he blocked him. How could you respond to someone who blocked you? You can't even
anymore.
Do we think that T-Dub is Banksy? Is that possible? Is T-Dub just a Banksy project?
I would say he would be Banksy's greatest work. Like, I know Banksy just shredded his own art, but that would be nothing. I mean, to do a 10-year account that mostly focuses on one forgettable movie and never sort of break kayfabe, never reveal who you are, I feel like is more impressive than any crap Banksy's ever done.
Okay.
And I'll leave this person's name out, but it's just a random RHAP listener. This is a normal tweet that everyone who's listening should definitely do this. @ person's name redacted. Didn't you used to follow me? You should always do that. If someone stops following you, tweet at them, especially if you've never interacted with them before, and ask them if
T-Dub
they used to follow you.
T-Dub sent this tweet to a podcast listener of didn't you used to follow me?
And didn't you used to follow me?
And then was there a response?
Yeah, I think he like guilted the person into refollowing. Like everyone was always like, oh, I thought I was following you, but you know, I must have accidentally muted everyone when they were spoiling something. I don't know.
And I think it's also worth noting that you did get consent from T-Dub before you engaged.
Yes.
I don't want that people to be like, hey, those guys bullied T-Dub on the podcast when they talked about that his tweets were trash.
Also, he might not exist. You can't bully someone who might not exist. But no,
the other thing I think that even three prolific podcasters are no match for the might of T-Dub. You know,
he could come after at us with the fire.
And this is far closer to his dream come true than his nightmare, correct?
I'm not sure. We don't know, like, does he like attention? Does he hate attention? I'm not sure. I don't think he'll listen to this, honestly. I don't even think he's going to listen.
Oh, okay.
What if nobody told him? What if I just, like, don't tweet about it and nobody tells him and then he just doesn't know what happened?
394 followers at the time of recording. Akiva,
let's see what kind of bump he gets.
RAANAP episode number 10 next week. Mm-hmm. How many followers will T-Dub have?
This is a great question. I love this question.
I'm going to say
the RAANAP
407.
Bump. 407.
I'm going to say 407. I don't think he gets a big bump because I think he might get some unfollowers. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I muted that guy and I never unfollowed him. I don't know if we're selling his account also. And this isn't really the golden age of T-Dub also. Like, you have to wait for
prime.
He's past prime, but it'll come back. When Avatar 2 comes out.
He's like Thanos post-snap, and he's just like, he's off on his planet. He's retired. He's just watching the sunset. That seems to be where T-Dub is now. Like, his greatest work is behind him, and now he can rest.
Okay.
But I think he'll come back for Avatar 2. I think he'll be really, you know, very hyped about Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5, which I know, Rob, you're very excited about also.
Sure.
All right, here's number 8. I think this is sort of like a prequel tweet. This is his backstory, and this will make a lot of sense. His whole personality will make a lot of sense after this tweet. I remember being 10 years old and making my parents hunt down a USA Today on a Monday morning so I could find out how much Terminator 2 earned at the box office.
Origin story.
He is very obsessed with movie grosses and how much money movies make. And to me, it's like the weirdest thing to be obsessed with. It would be like if I was obsessed with sports, but not how the team did, but like how much money the team cleared from like ticket sales or like concessions, you know? It's a very specific thing. It's like, how much did this major corporation, it's like rooting for capitalism only.
Well, for him, it does seem like, you know, it's an obvious metric for the, you know, the financial success of a film, which in my mind does not necessarily dictate the quality of a film. And I think that that is probably not a hot take. But it does seem that for Matthew, as I like to call him sometimes, that if a film that he likes that gets bagged on has done tremendous success at the box office, it does feel like that is a irrefutable marker of the fine quality of the film itself.
Agreed.
May I also ask, Akiva?
Yes.
Was this in response to a thread, or did somebody ask, hey, how did you
fall in love with movies? I'm going to tweet out some gold right now.
This is
on
just a
October 11, 2013.
I remember being 10 years old and asking my parents to buy me a USA Today.
Yeah, zero
this is
like
the first
zero
line
retweets.
Of the novel. This is how the novel begins.
Yes. Okay.
So if you printed out all of his tweets and then cut them up, could you then put them in order to make the T-Dub autobiography?
I think so. God. I think we should really maybe buy the rights to that. It's not a bad idea. Number seven,
the best idea of the podcast thus far.
Yeah. Number seven. He picks a fight with a guy you always want to fight with. Hey, at The Rock, you think you have at least. Do you think you have at least half the work ethic of at Tom Cruise has been putting out over the last 35 years? So it's a normal question to just ask a person, especially The Rock, who famously has like 40 different jobs and like literally shoots two movies at once where he's in every scene. So it's a normal question to ask The Rock if he has Tom Cruise's work ethic.
a great quality about T-Dub is that he is a David who fancies himself a Goliath.
Yes.
I think like he very fearlessly goes up against all of these different giants of the world of cinema and what have you, and just shoots the slingshot without any kind of strategy going into it. He does not think that he is going to be squashed. If he does think that, he does not care. He'll just go up to anybody. He will just knock on anyone's door fearlessly. He's a fearless man.
I also think like the idea of The Rock giving T-Dub a rock bottom would be the highlight of my entire life. And I don't know if we could make that happen somehow. Giving him the
but
people's elbow afterwards.
For T-Dub as well. I think he would love it.
Yeah, who wouldn't like that? And maybe then he could show, yes, he does have at least half of Tom Cruise's work.
Now, where did the Tom Cruise love come from? I feel like this seems like
he
a plot
sticks up
twist.
Like Josh is saying, he's a Goliath. He sticks up for the big guys. He looks out for all the James Camerons. Like he
his
has no
peers,
time for
peers.
your little people. He's only interested in the winners.
Okay.
I think he also I think he greatly admires anybody that very clearly, at least in his estimation, that very clearly throws themselves into the work, is very clearly passionate about something, is very clearly going to deliver you consistent levels of entertainment, potentially at the risk of their own bodily harm. And I think he, for that reason, is incredibly high on Tom Cruise, and certainly in the wake of the most recent Mission Impossible movie, I saw a lot of T-Dub chatter defending his boy Tom. Also not impossible that T-Dub himself is Tom Cruise.
That would be amazing.
He may just pull off the T-Dub mask and Tom Cruise is
underneath.
What
the T stands for.
Exactly.
Or maybe he's just like a big-time Scientologist who's trying to pump up Tom Cruise, because we don't
entirely
hear much about
possible.
His religion. We don't know. He could be a Scientologist.
Could be entirely
right.
possible.
Number 6, December 15, 2015, he gets into the holiday spirit. Now, a lot of people had a misconception, and T-Dub wanted to clear it up, because I would say this was really spreading like wildfire throughout the entire country. So T-Dub was going to put squash this beef right now. It's cute that some people think that an old converted Belk's in Davenport, Florida has a full-size IMAX. I assure you that it doesn't. Hashtag Sinopolis.
What? He's talking about
a
movie theater?
Yeah, he's like, I guess people thought it had a real IMAX, and he just wanted to assure all of his 394 followers, zero of who live in Davenport, Florida, that this movie theater is not a full-size IMAX.
This guy. Good to know.
I also like sometimes he'll be like, do any hairdressers who follow me ever get asked to like get specific male celebrity haircuts? And it's like, how many hairdressers do you think you have that follow you? You have 300 followers. What percentage are hairdressers, buddy?
It's likely that there are none. I would
probably zero,
guess
max one, I would say. And then it's
I
a very
guess
did anybody
question.
Respond to that tweet?
No, none of them get responses. January.
Really, it should come as no surprise. T-Dub really, as somebody who cares about the craft of filmmaking so much, he cares equally about the experience of watching said film. He gets very upset when a theater is not up to his very, very high standards, much like the great David Lynch, who did not love that people were going to be watching Twin Peaks The Return on television as opposed to a movie screen. I think T-Dub is of the same mold. He is not one that you would find championing watching any kind of show on your iPhone. It's got to be the biggest screen with the best sound possible.
Okay.
Very important to him.
Because I had to sift through 45,000 of these. There is like 10,000 tweets that are just about like surround sound. He won't allow anyone to play a DVD in his house because it's not a high enough visual quality. He's very into audio things, like thousands of dollars worth of audio equipment. It's one of his things. So if I ever do watch Avatar, maybe Avatar 2, instead of watching in the theater, Josh, we get together and watch it on like an old like iPhone 4 together.
Yes, that's the move. That's the move. That's a podcast.
Also, I have a set of headphones left over from a Delta flight I took in 2007.
Only one ear works. That's a good idea. We'll split it. We'll split the headphones. I love it. All right, so I have no context for this. I do have to tell Josh who A.J. McCarron is. He was a quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's now, I think, the backup for the Oakland Raiders. But at the time, he was the quarterback for the Alabama Crimson Tide, which I believe is T-Dub's favorite college team.
Okay.
He likes college football.
He rolls
maybe
tight.
He went to the University of Alabama. I don't know. But he was – so this is a college student that T-Dub is talking to, okay? when he was the quarterback for their football team, at AJ McCarron. Your mom blocked me, bro. Can you ask her to unblock me?
Is he trolling AJ McCarron?
No, his mom must have really blocked him on Twitter, and he's trying to get unblocked. There's no jokes here.
He's trying to get AJ McCarron. He's trying to imply that he's had some sort of a relationship with AJ McCarron's mom.
No. His mom literally, because it's a lot of blocking that goes on with him. His mom literally blocked him. This college student's mother blocked him, probably because he said, like, oh, your son is stupid and threw an interception or something.
Is it possible AJ McCarron's mom does not appreciate the Avatar franchise?
Possible. She hates Avatar. She's like the biggest Cameron hater on earth. That is possible.
But T-Dub is one of the most blockable people I have ever encountered in my social media life. I mean, I blocked T-Dub. My first interaction that I can remember with T-Dub is blocking him. And I don't block people, really. I think I have like 5 people blocked. Maybe I'm a prolific muter. If you haven't heard from me in a long time and you tweet at me a lot, you must have crossed me at one point in time and you are forever muted.
He just tweeted at someone like yesterday and said, like, you haven't interacted with me in a while. Some like movie expert. Or am I muted? And no response.
You got to imagine he is deeply muted. And also severely
blocked. I wish you could see stats on like who's the most blocked person on Twitter.
He's not quite there, but I'm sure he is greatly blocked.
Josh, have you ever been blocked on Twitter?
This is a triggering subject for me. I have been blocked on Twitter.
Do you not want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
Okay.
It was a tough time.
I think I'm only blocked by 2 people. Rob, you're blocked by people, right?
I am blocked by people, and that it blows. Like, my Twitter is not incendiary or hateful in any way. And somehow, yes, I am blocked by some people.
But you're probably blocked for things not that you did on Twitter, or not that you did in real life, because you don't interact with people in real life, but probably things you said on a podcast that someone disagreed with.
Like
a stan of some Survivor Big Brother person who you don't like, and they block you for that, I would guess.
First off, there are no people that I don't like, Akiva. But
that's
yes,
true.
There are some.
Well, people will find out there are if they ever pay for the $75
and
patron level and hear the first 30 minutes of the podcast.
I will also add that there are reality stars that have blocked me on Twitter.
I can't believe it. Yeah, I was blocked within like the last 6 months for the first time, and it was I almost had in my bio never been blocked. I thought it was like a real claim to fame. But eventually I got blocked by a couple people.
I don't know why, but I am, and this even predates my affiliation with The Hollywood Reporter, but I am blocked by Deadline. The trade.
What about Variety? Is there a big beef with Variety also? The trades?
Variety, I can see Variety. I have not been able to see a tweet from Deadline since, like 2011. Something like that. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
What about Nikki
Fink?
Did she block you?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let me check.
Are you impressed with my Hollywood trade knowledge, John?
Yes, I am. I actually am. Let's see. Am I blocked by Nikki Fink? No, I can see Nikki Fink. Okay. So this is like the post Nikki Fink Deadline has me blocked. Mm.
Well, just to tell you what it's like and how I realize this is sometimes I will see like a retweet. And somebody's like retweeting something. I'm like, well, why did they retweet an empty tweet? Did they retweet something and then it got deleted? I'm like,
ouch.
That's so weird. And then eventually I realized, oh, if I open it up in a different window, then I can see this tweet, which is like why blocking is like the dumbest thing ever. So that's how I realized these things. It's a weird sensation.
Yeah.
It's like, wait,
number
why?
4.
I'm so confused.
I don't know. Muting is better.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of the mute button.
One of T-Dub's favorite foils on Twitter is Stephen Fishback. Fishback will engage with him. He loves going back and forth with Stephen Fishback. He has a lot, but a lot of them like are long conversations. This was my favorite one-off that had no context. At Stephen Fishback, if I had to guess what your bench press was, and solely based off seeing you in Survivor Token Jeans, this was before his second season, I bet you have maxed out at about 190. It's just a totally normal thing to tweet at someone in the middle of the day with, again, no context. And by the way, I guess that's an insult. Like, I don't know what you I don't think we've got 3 guys here who could tell you what anyone bench presses.
One
right?
Rep,
I have no idea.
190.
I don't know. I don't know. I've never bench pressed. Josh, do you know anything about bench pressing?
I mean, I don't really. I think, but I feel like pre-Second Chance Steven, I don't think of him much as a bench presser, but I do think
Second Chance Steven.
Steven, at least at the time, he was kind of swole.
Yeah, what year was this? What was the date on this?
Swole Steven?
This is like 2015?
2015?
Right? Was that Second Chance?
Yeah, but what was the date of the tweet?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That tweet was from, it wasn't there, May 27th, 2012. He's been going at it with Steven for six and a half years.
Steven, this might have been, you know, at his prime, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But he's talking about at Token Chin, so I don't know if he's saying that he could do more now. So hard to really get inside the mind of T-Dub.
But maybe that was his inspiration, Steven's inspiration for getting like super jacked in time for Cambodia.
Steven and did CrossFit at one point.
Yeah. I've seen the video.
September 11th, 2014.
Okay.
How about this? Number three, impossible challenge. Find one tweet where someone disses, not just disagrees with, but disses at Rob Cisternino, the only guy on Twitter who no one disses.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So what year was this?
4 years ago.
4 years ago.
2014.
Well, 4 years ago, you were untouchable.
Yeah.
You
know, the world has changed, and that has become a increasingly less difficult task.
Yeah, no one is invincible anymore.
Here's a bonus tweet from T-Dub that didn't make the top 10. My number one goal of all time is to be the first and only like by Dalton Ross ever. His refusal to tap that little heart is electrifying. He's obsessed with Dalton Ross never liking tweets.
I'm honestly shocked that that's not in the top 10. This is another thing that T-Dub...
It's too famous of a tweet, I think.
T-Dub and his circle...
Because it's true. That one's right.
Dalton Ross has never liked a tweet.
He has zero likes.
Has never... ever liked a tweet. Literally never. In fact, I believe that, you know, he was a participant in the bike ride for MS that Chris Noble arranged not terribly long ago, actually the weekend of your birthday, Rob. And Dalton was part of that, and I believe that he had said that for people who donated, he was going to give away his first ever Twitter like.
Did he?
I think I have that right. And it as of this recording, it has yet to manifest. Dalton still has not liked.
Why is that a thing? Why did he make that his platform of no likes on Twitter?
Having talked to him about this in the past on one of our travels together, he said that like one day he just noticed that he had not liked any tweets by anybody. I think probably because somebody had brought it to his attention, potentially even T-Dub, unconfirmed, and decided that's just kind of going to be his thing now. He just doesn't like tweets. He retweets. He'll interact a lot. He's very good at the interaction, Dalton Ross. But he's not a liker. I'm more of a liker than an interactor. He's more of an interactor than a liker.
Yeah, liking is so easy, and then nobody will ever ask you for more of your time after you click that heart. The interaction could be part two of a 40, you know, thread chain at that point. Like, the person will keep going back and forth until you like the tweet. Liking the tweet for a conversation is like, this is a way to tell you that the conversation's over.
I really enjoy just the numerous efforts to draw out a Dalton Ross like. T-Dub.
I do think Dalton Ross should like his... Or, like, what if Dalton Ross is, like, $1,000 and I'll like one tweet for you? Conan O'Brien follows exactly one person, and he has for, like, a decade. And it's just a random lady he, like, picked on Twitter. But that lady has, like, 500,000 followers just because, like, anyone who goes to Conan's profile sees he's following one. I told Rob he should do this with Nicole because for a long time Kanye only followed Kim. And that's like, that's my queen. I only follow one person. So Rob should only – he should unfollow all 4,000 people he follows, which is a whole other podcast, Josh. Or he should have, like, I don't know what the – you know what a Finsta is, right? Like a fake Twitter, which nobody really has, but he could invent it. So and just follow Nicole on that. All right. Two more tweets, and then we'll play the game.
By the way, did you see that Jack from Twitter said that they're considering removing the like button? So
people went insane. I don't think they're going to – I'll tell you why. Because people will dunk on him, and then they'll like the tweet like, hey, Jack, get rid of the Nazis. 8,000, you know, retweets, 100,000 likes, and that hurts his feelings. That's why he wants to get rid of
it. It's just all insane. You're gonna get rid of the like button, but you're gonna keep the Nazis. Cool. Good job, Twitter. You got it. That's exactly what we all ask
for. The liking is the only good part about Twitter. It's friendly. You don't have to talk to people you don't want to talk to. Someone like Rob who has 60,000 followers or 70,000 followers, like, you don't have time to interact with everyone, even if you want to. So the like is just so easy. It would be bananas for them to get rid of it. Here's
if
number two.
If the like button goes away on Twitter, I am truly You're just going to become a Twitter ghost.
I agree. But can I tell you something I do, Josh, that I think that everyone should do, but maybe if you don't try it, you do. So because I'm observant as an Orthodox Jew, I don't use any technology for 24 hours a week, really 25 hours a week, Friday night to Saturday night, which means that I don't check Twitter once and then I come back Saturday night. And then there's like 10,000 tweets about like, you know, Trump doing something and this other right. person. Like, you're coming back. But then you're just like, you're getting all the news within 20 minutes, whereas normally you would have been on Twitter like the whole 25 hours. Everyone needs to take 24 hours a week and just not be on any social media.
It's what keeps you sane.
I feel like. Yeah, because you get to, you know, like once a week, I'm not going to have to sift through this. I think it really is like such a mental health like benefit to not.
Smart.
Because you're especially someone like Rob who follows 4,000 people. He's probably on Twitter. I mean, Rob is liking tweets at 4:40 in the morning. I'm sure you've noticed, Josh.
Oh yeah, so 100%. Yeah, when
I always
wakes
I like to see the first time, the first
like
interaction.
Killer.
Yeah, the first interaction I see from Rob, like I always check the time and look at the time difference. It's, and it's always like 5:12. Sometimes it's like 4:44, right? Am I wrong, Rob?
Well,
I think it's like it never gets earlier than like 4:40.
Yeah, I wake up and I tend to look at my mentions the first thing because really that I feel like I was asleep for 6 hours. What
yeah.
if
and you were missing stuff? You're on a different coast. Maybe people are up already having fun.
Well, what if you know I've been milkshake ducked? That's really what I have to take a look at. Like,
yeah.
What if you know there's been
I would
a movement.
Not want to know that. I would want like 10 more minutes of peace.
Everybody hates me in my life is over. So I have to just make sure that, okay, now, so, you know, same old, same old.
I do like only like the 4:58 like from Rob.
Yeah.
I keep Twitter up when I'm working. I have it up on my computer all the time, but when I'm not working and I'm away from my computer, my thing, Akiva, is maybe I'm like spreading my 25 hours
that's
a
smart.
Week across
yeah, you don't
the week
actually have to keep Shabbos to do this. You can do it in your own way.
I don't have I don't have push notifications for Twitter or for Facebook on my phone. So I have no sense whatsoever of anybody reaching out to me anything unless I am actively looking at Twitter in my phone. And
that's
when
smart.
I check off of the computer, when I'm done with the computer, maybe I'll check Twitter a couple more times that day on the phone. But otherwise, I am unreachable. I steer clear of the social media after dark.
That's smart. Yeah, I deleted Facebook off my phone similarly. All right, number two from T-Dub. I try to tweet at least once a day about the movie Sully before I go to sleep at night.
What year is that from?
It would be funny if it was from last week, but that tweet was from September 20th, 2016.
Okay.
So relatively, you know, soon after Sully came out. But I like that. Like, why he did not keep that up. We're going to keep him honest. He needs to go back to start tweeting once a week about Sully. The 10-second scene with Michael Rapaport in the bar. Just like, give me a Sully of the Day tweet from now on, T-Dub.
Incredible. I love the movies that fall under the Avatar umbrella for T-Dub, like the movies that objectively no one gives any kind of crap about.
Lion, the movie Lion he's obsessed with.
Well, Lion's a great movie, but he's obsessed with Lion. He's obsessed with Lion.
What is Lion? I don't even know what that movie is.
It's a really good Lifetime movie. That's what I told him, and it made him enraged. It's like the best Lifetime movie ever.
What is Lion?
Lion is about a guy. It's a true story about a guy in India or Pakistan.
2016. Nicole Kidman, Dev Patel.
What country? I don't remember. But it's he gets lost and so far from his house, and his brother gets killed by a train that he's so far away from his family and like he doesn't speak the language or whatever, and he basically like never sees his family again. Gets adopted by a family in Australia and eventually uses Google Maps to sort of remember where he lived when he was a child. There's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually gets reunited with his family. And it's really good, but I had read an article from like Vanity Fair and New York Magazine about it. So like that was 10 times better than the movie. So really it's like, I could have made that movie. It's just like a really good Lifetime movie. But for whatever reason, he's obsessed with that movie.
It's a very good movie. It's very emotional. It makes you feel the feelings, but he adores the movie in a way where if you are not close to his level of enjoying
that
movie,
you gotta be a Lion stan. Yeah.
You are. Yeah. If you're not standing Lion, you're definitely on T-Dub's shit list.
Yeah. I'd like to see set up some sort of like a big charity event where I start watching this movie at 9 o'clock at night. And if I can stay awake for the whole movie, then, you know, we could get some like corporate sponsor that will, you know, donate like $100,000.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll like this movie, Rob. First of all, you should watch with Nicole. I think she'll be crying the whole time. I don't know why that would be a good thing.
That sounds great.
She will be crying the whole time. It's a crying movie.
Yeah.
It's a crying movie.
If I had tear ducts, I would have been crying. All right. You want to hear T-Dub's greatest tweet ever and then no more T-Dub?
Were these his best tweets or his worst tweets?
No, these were sort of my favorite of, my 10 favorite of.
Kiva's
my, like
10 that'll favorite.
Give you an it'll give you sort of like a sampling, because there could have been 10 like, ha ha ha, someone blocked him or weird interactions.
And
I want to just mix it up.
In defense of the concept of the podcast, of your tweets are trash, one man's trash is another's treasure, right?
So true, but this is nobody's treasure. It's
these
like,
these tweets are my treasure. I treasure these
fine,
tweets.
That's fair. All right, his greatest tweet of all time, May 29th, 2012, my sister's 11th birthday. at Mike Scoopin. Mike, the godfather of the medevac. Just kidding, but something tells me you have something up your sleeve and I can't wait for it.
No further comments, Your Honor.
May 2012. So, you guys want to play a game?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Never before have I more wanted to play a game.
Let me leave this place.
One more. This is, by the way, this is going to be like an advertisement for patronhood that I didn't fit in there. But this is a good sell for Rob's patron group. T-Dub tweeted, I hate the RHAP Facebook group because y'all could be on Twitter having confrontations with me instead. So if you want to avoid the T-Dubs, go to Rob's patron group and sign up. And people are actually nice and not yelling about you blocking them.
Okay.
All righty.
There you go.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the game, Rob and Josh. I collected dozens of celebrities' first ever tweets, sticking with our Twitter theme. And I'm going to read you the tweet. And you guys are going to have to guess who tweeted it. Some of them will be multiple choice. Some of them, for various reasons, will not be.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Am I playing against Josh or are we working
together?
Yes,
you guys are playing against each other. You are playing against each other.
Okay.
Okay. So who wants to go first? I'll say, Rob, you're going first.
Are we both answering the question or is it Josh gets a question and then I get a question?
Because I don't think we could steal because multiple choice makes it too easy. So I'll just give you each different questions. Now, shut up, Tim. Help me with this game.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of frenemies, Josh Wiggler's friend, so if you don't like the questions, blame him and not me, because he helped me with this, okay?
Timmy Tim. Always sneaking your way into some stupid thing that I have to do.
He's
I'm
actually,
not
Josh, quite prolific on this podcast in terms of coming up with...
He's one of our big... useful. He's come up with good ideas.
Known, so, one man's trash is another man's trash.
That's true. It's like,
I guess that's true.
I used to... Josh, I don't know if you were a big summer camp guy, but sometimes there would be like... a guy who I would be in the school with who was the biggest nerd, but he'd go to a different camp and they didn't know he was a nerd. So he'd go to that camp and he'd be really cool. But then he'd come back and be like, no, back to the bottom of the line. You know, like you're a loser, but like 2 months a year. So that maybe that shut up Tim.
So
like,
he's the homecoming king on this podcast.
Yes. In like sort of the Wiggler extended universe, he is sort of the butt of the jokes, but here he's like useful and we like him. And sometimes, you know, sometimes in high school, you're a nerd and then you go to college and it's like, you're letting you're going wild and people like you. So this is college.
So maybe he's like more of an idea man, but then in terms of like, if we had him like playing music on this podcast, then that would be
true. Yeah. No, I don't think that would work out. He did write us a theme song that wasn't good.
I would consider Shut Up Tim one of he's in my rogues gallery, like of my
Frenemies.
Extended superhero universe. He's like, yeah, he's one of like the people that I've thrown into Arkham, but every once in a while I'll consult him for some project. Like we can set aside our differences to push.
I will
something
say,
forward.
Rob, I'm having a lot of fun doing my first podcast with Josh, but this is like the eighth movie reference I have not gotten at all.
I know.
Rob knows that.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
get
not even like a movie reference. That's just
Batman. You've got sports. I've got nerdery. They're incompatible things, but we're making it work. It's working.
And I'm enough in the middle of those two Venn diagrams to get 80% of what you're both talking about.
Yes.
Well, I mean, we do have people who are like, hey, you guys need to make RANEP more diverse. So that's why we brought on Josh. We figured like, yes, we're all white guys from Long Island, but Rob and I are from Nassau County and Josh, I think, is from Suffolk. So we really mixed it up.
Right on the line.
All right. Here, first tweet. This is for Rob. This is multiple choice. Someone tweeted as his first tweet ever, up early in the morning, taking meetings in Silicon Valley. Spelled it wrong. Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Is it A, Ashton Kutcher? These are all going to be alphabetical order, so don't think about the what order I put them in. B, Elon Musk. C, Kanye West. Or D, Mark Cuban.
I was actually going to say Ashton Kutcher before you read the multiple choices, but maybe that means that that's the obvious fake answer, but I will go with my gut and say Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. Yeah, I probably would have guessed that too. It is actually Kanye West. I threw you off the trail by putting in three sort of Shark Tank type guys, but it was Kanye in Silicon Valley.
Ashton Kutcher's a Shark Tank type guy?
Yeah, well, he at the beginning of Twitter, he was the most popular person on Twitter, and he was like, he's a very big, like, series whatever, like, a like early investor in tech stocks.
Yeah.
And let's not forget he was Steve Jobs briefly. He was briefly Steve Jobs.
That's true. He was Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. He was okay on Twitter, like, when he was married to Demi Moore, and then they would, like, get on there, and then, but now nobody cares about either of them.
Yeah, no, he was literally the number one guy on Twitter, and now, like, you know what? He tweeted the Penn State fired Joe Paterno, and then he, like, wasn't following the news, so he was like, what? How could they fire Joe Paterno?
I remember
And then, like, people went so insane, he's like, all right, I need a timeout, and he's still been in Twitter timeout for, like, 8 years after that awful a tweet so bad it, like, shut down the number one account. Yeah. And it was just ignorance. There was no malice, but it was just so stupid that he had to
He's still tweeting, though. The game.
All right, Josh, this is not multiple choice.
Okay. Oh,
this
gosh,
is the tweet.
Okay.
Game night with the girls. Dominoes, Uno with my babies. Crystal, Carissa, Christina, Hope, Jade, and Brittany from Playmate House.
Whoa. Okay. No choices at all. I just have to take a shot in the dark into the universe. Should this be obvious?
Yeah, do you want me to read the tweet again?
Yeah, I do.
Game night with the girls. Dominoes, Uno with my babies. Crystal, Carissa, Christina, and Hope. Jade and Brittany from Playmate House.
Oh, I don't know. I'm horrible. I should have warned you. I'm horrible with this type of stuff. I can't phone a friend. I can't call T-Dub.
Antonio on the phone. I do think, well, there's no point steal, but Rob, if you want to steal this one in a second.
I'll say Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, this is at Hugh Hefner. He actually signed the tweet, but I kept it out.
Well, I wasn't thinking about the possibility of
the Playmate
of dead people appearing in this.
Yeah,
in
that's
this
true. That's true. This is maybe no longer active account.
Other than Casey Kasem maybe showing up, I had no idea.
I don't think Casey had Twitter before he left. So the score is 0-0.
Okay,
Rob, just seeing how this works, I'm hosting the Golden Globes on January 17th. They want me to do a running commentary on Twitter. Is this Amy Poehler, Jimmy Fallon, Ricky Gervais, or Seth Meyers? All actual Golden Globes hosts.
Okay. I think that Jimmy Fallon was on a pretty early adopter, so I don't think that that was his first tweet. I think I'm between Poehler and Gervais. I am going to go with Gervais because I think that he would feel like, oh, well, what am I going to say on here? Everybody will follow me. So I will go with Gervais.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah, Ricky Gervais.
It's Gervais.
All right. Ricky, I think, is it Gervais?
I don't think so.
No, I don't know. No, I think it's Gervais.
It's not. Yeah.
All right, Josh.
It's an honor and a Gervais.
Gross.
Thinking we're only one signature away from ending the war in Iraq. Learn more at www.barackobama.com.
I'm gonna hope that that's Barack Obama.
Yeah, you got it. That's 1-1.
Too bad we didn't get that one signature.
All right, yeah. Rob. This is my first day on Twitter. All excited, spelled wrong. They spelled it exited. Getting ready to do The View. Must get my hair done. Is this Joy, Whoopi, Barbara, or Elizabeth Hasselbeck? This is my first day on Twitter. All exited. No C and excited. Getting ready to do The View. Must get my hair done.
I'm going to go with Barbara.
Yes, it is Barbara Walters. Correct.
Okay.
2-1. That's pretty good. All right. Josh.
Yes.
You ready?
I am. I'm here.
This is the real Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm going to say it's the real Shaquille O'Neal.
That's correct. It's 2-2.
Not the one from the alternate
so
universe.
Lucky, Josh, yeah, so far. Yes, you've been really getting these. Shut up, Tim. Yeah. You know, he made this game, so I don't know what's going on here.
The Shaquille O'Neal that botched his picks for the Podcast One Sports Net last week?
Ooh.
Oh, you, Rob, you know, Rob is competing with Shaq in the podcast one sports pick 'em.
That's
not great. That's not something to brag about. I don't think Shaq is a big, I think it was a Cowboys fan, Shaq.
Well, he picked the Cowboys and they lost on Monday.
Yeah, well, that's, I think he's a Cowboys fan. He's from Texas. Josh. Yeah.
I know football. I've heard about it.
Yes.
Oh, can we play a very quick game in the middle of this game?
I think you got,
we're almost done with the
Twitter
game. I think
you got about less than 10 minutes left with Josh.
All right, but I think it's worth it.
Okay.
I want to ask you, Rob, how many starting NFL quarterbacks, publicists, not agent, how many starting NFL quarterbacks do you think Josh Wigler could name right now in the NFL?
Oh, yeah, not a lot.
Wait, Josh, don't say anything yet.
How many
quarterbacks? NFL quarterback. You can't say Tim Tebow is not in the NFL.
Could he say like Joe Montana?
No, current NFL quarterback.
Right? Okay.
What do you think he could hit? And then we'll have Josh name him.
I would say that he can give you five.
Okay. Josh, how many can you give us?
That might be a lot.
I would have guessed lower.
Blake Bortles.
Oh, good. Yeah.
This is everyone the good place.
See, Rob doesn't know the good place, I don't think.
The good place. Thomas Brady.
Yes.
I don't know if that's if, 41. If his name is,
people forget
is,
that.
Is it Foley Thomas? I believe
it is. Yeah, he's a blue blood.
Are both of the Mannings still around? Are Peyton and Eli
good
still
question.
Kicking?
Good question. Cooper is still around.
I mean,
Cooper
is Manning. The game end if he says somebody who's not in the NFL, or does it,
I don't know.
The,
I don't. There okay, aren't I like think, very firm rules.
Eli is. Peyton is not.
Eli's still in the NFL. Peyton is retired.
I mean,
yes,
I
think Eli's hanging on by a thread.
I think that's probably all I got, guys.
That's it?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't think you get five because there aren't that many famous QBs, Rob. Like, you know, non-football fan famous.
Would
famous,
Colin Kaepernick have counted?
No, because he's not on a team.
The thing about me and sports is I think I like sports more than I am given credit for, but I really don't know
Once a
them.
Year, Josh tweets, I'm doing some Major League Baseball fantasy league with my friends, and like my eyes fall out of my socket, and I put them back in every year.
Akiva, I won my fantasy baseball league this year. How about that?
I mean, everyone in your league should basically, you know, like stop following sports.
It was a bad deal for all of them. And I walked away with $800. And it was a great time.
Wow.
It was a great time.
Can I join this league next year?
I'll get you in there. I love watching sports. I really enjoy watching
sports. You're not a
sports
hater. You're not one of these people
Definitely
who are
not.
On Twitter, is there a sports ball game going on? Which that really drives me insane.
There was a point in time where I would do that both on podcasts and on social media. And then I caught wind of your feelings towards the matter. And
but it wasn't about you.
But very genuinely, it shaped my behavior in that regard and made me think, you know what, that is very disrespectful for people who really enjoy the sports. So
there's 100 people that think I do the same thing about Star Wars. Although we are sort of coming around to Star Wars here.
I'm excited about that.
We are doing a podcast where Rob is going to explain Star Wars to me. We're not going to watch it.
My wife and I watched the full World Series. I'll watch football when it's on. My friend, my best friend.
You go
friend
to a Super Bowl party.
My best friend since I was 2 years old is a diehard New York Knicks fan and has been trying for years to get me really into the New York Knicks. And basketball just moves too fast for my stupid eyes to follow. But
interesting.
I have a very...
Good news, the Knicks don't move that fast.
I'm aware that they're not very good. I have, in his honor, I have adopted, mostly mockingly... Ron Baker is my all-time favorite basketball player.
That's funny.
And I do have a Ron Baker New York Knicks jersey. I'm also currently wearing New York Rangers sweatshirt that I got from a Rangers game that I attended with a friend about 4 weeks ago. And it is I purchased it both because the design was very cool and the material of the sweatshirt, it is the softest of stuff. And I was wearing it around Brooklyn when I was walking with my wife about 2 weeks ago, and some guy like came up to me and was like, "Yeah, Swiss Charles is gonna do it tonight." And I don't know if he said Swiss Charles or something else, but it was literally like alien, and I was like, "I can never wear this shirt in public ever again."
That's funny.
But I like sports more than I give than I come off as. I don't know them. I just don't know them.
It's a very high barrier to entry, especially if you're the type of person, which you are, who when you get into something usually gets very into it.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So it's like if you're the type of person who's going to be ranking your favorite episodes of Lost ever, like from 1 to 10, whatever.
I don't think it's I have like the brain. It's hard. I don't have any room.
It's hard
for
to
it
be
anymore.
A casual in something.
Yeah.
Like if someone was to do a 200 hours, you know, audiobook about Survivor, they're probably like super 200. Into that. It's hard to just, what is it, 250? 180?
300, Keev.
Well, not yet. Is it? It was over 200 the first
time? Oh, it's over 300. It's over 300.
I thought it was 200. Well, I guess once the fourth one comes, it'll be in like the 1,000 range.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Please no. Please no. Never.
All right. So it's 2-2. Let's finish this Twitter game. We'll let Josh go back to not watching sports, but appreciating them. here we go. Today, I interviewed a squirrel in my backyard and then threw to commercial. This is for Rob. I interviewed a squirrel in my backyard, then threw to commercial. Somebody help me. Is this the first tweet of Conan, Kimmel, Corden, or Colbert? Speaking of diversity, people think like the late night hosts don't have diversity. Just because all their names are, they're white guys whose names start with C, but some of them are C and some of them are K, actually. So there is some diversity.
Okay.
Conan, Kimmel, Corden, or Colbert? Who interviewed a squirrel in their backyard and threw to commercial? Somebody help me. Whose tweet is that?
Okay. Can you say one more time?
Yes. Today, I interviewed a squirrel in my backyard and then threw to commercial. Somebody help me. Conan, Kimmel, James Corden, Stephen Colbert.
I'm going to say... That, let me just talk this through. I'm gonna say that it's Conan, and maybe he started his Twitter following getting canceled at NBC, and it's sort of like people. He doesn't have a show, and he's talking to animals in his backyard. He needs mental help, and everybody was like, "Oh, poor Conan. Jay Leno screwed you." And this would be around like 2009, and I'm gonna go with Conan.
That would have been my guess as well. The only other guess
that
I had
is
was
really
like,
good logic, though. That's like SAT level logic, or
Colbert when he was on.
No,
his
you're
break.
Right. That's I didn't even get the tweet until now. You just explained it to me. That's really good.
It's amazing.
I just thought he had like no show that day or something, and he was like, "Why is he interview?" Or like they just did a bit with a squirrel, and he's talking about it.
I mean,
it.
Do you have the date on that?
I don't. I just
I would imagine that was sort of in the hiatus between him
you're probably
being
right.
laid off and then showing up in TBS.
Yep. Josh and I have something else in common, which is we don't get your Big Brother references.
Yeah.
Like, no. how do you get eased into stuff like Giannis, Josh, where like when you don't watch Big Brother, I don't watch it, but mostly everyone else who podcasts with him do.
I would sooner
watch
become like a very hyper detailed sports fan than a Big Brother
yeah,
watcher.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Every
yeah. I would double down on, I would double down on sports before I watch Big Brother. And it's
Boy,
already
I
like
thought
affects
you used
my
to
marriage
watch Big
and my
Brother.
Relationship with
you
my
don't
kids.
Watch Big Brother, Keith?
I did. I cut it out. I did used to watch it. I'm talking a big game. I never watched it. And then one summer I liked it and I went and I binged like 10 seasons and I enjoyed it. But the atmosphere on Twitter is like so toxic. And also like I'm very busy.
Makes you really appreciate T-Dub.
Yeah. And also the show Survivor, which like is sort of when it's over, it's over. I just think the atmosphere is bad. But also like, I have an obsessive personality like a lot of people. And like, I would just have to watch the live feeds and know what was going on and know the most about it. And I just don't have the time to commit to that. So I don't. So I don't know who any of the people are anymore. I don't know anything. And I think my life is like, I think my summer was better for it.
Interesting. T-Dub has never gotten into Big Brother, right?
He doesn't like Big Brother. Like, yeah, that's what me, Josh, and Tito have in common.
And that makes sense. Right. I think it's like the production value. I think Big Brother looks a little cheapo depot.
Yeah. the audio is not a high enough quality for it.
If you watch it on an IMAX, I think it would really, you know, you see the seams.
All right, Josh, just one more round after this and then we're done.
Okay.
Who tweeted Rainn Wilson reporting for duty?
I believe that was Rainn Wilson.
All right, I'm going to give you a real one. I thought it would be funny if I, because I have like 40
more. Is this like This Week in Survivor History? This is like a Kalish move?
I thought it would be funny if I, because I also have like Welcome to Britney Spears Twitter. I have Sean William Scott was in studio this morning, killed it on Rock Band 2. See the video on RyanSeacrest.com. Check out my single on myspace.com/Justin Bieber. But I thought the Heft tweet was a giveaway because the word playmate, but I guess
I just didn't
it wasn't.
Think that you would start with somebody dead. It really, it never.
Yeah,
you
know what? I wouldn't have thought of
the
dead person either. Yeah. All right. So this is the tie.
Off the list.
And here's the tweet. It is from, well, I'm not going to say what it's from. I already did that once. I finally joined Twitter. What's up, bitches? Is this from Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Kourtney Kardashian, or Kris Jenner?
Ooh, I know the answer.
I finally joined Twitter. What's up, bitches?
I think I know the answer. Is this for me or is this for Rob?
This is for you to tie to go to a sudden death question.
I believe.
Definitely get wrong on purpose.
Oh, okay. Well.
No, don't. There's a word done after.
I believe that it is late to the game. as my wife's very good friend who loves the Kardashians loves to call her Pimp Mama Chris. I believe is the person who tweeted that. I believe that it is Kris Jenner.
I just don't know if like a mom would tweet. I don't know. My mom definitely wouldn't tweet that. It was Khloe Kardashian at the time.
Such a Khloe tweet.
Yeah. I feel like she's late to the party. I agree. The mom was probably there last, but I don't know if, she would tweet what's up bitches as her first tweet.
No, I could see it. I could see it.
I don't know so much about Kris Jenner. The pimp.
I know more about the Kardashians than I would care to. I am an MTV expat, after all. That was it was on the beat. It was on the beat back in the day.
All right, last one. Whoever gets this right wins. Both of you, you just buzz in. Say your name if you know it. I just met Dwayne Wade at Alonzo Mourning's retirement party just by chance. Turns out he and his grandma love Knight Rider. Wow. Whose first tweet is that? Yes.
Is it David Hasselhoff?
That's correct. That's correct. See, the Dwayne Wade and the Alonzo Mourning can throw you off. But yes, I love that his first tweet is an insane, is like a quadruple humble brag from David Hasselhoff. I just met these famous people at this other famous person's birthday party. Turns out he, and not just him, his grandma. I don't want to just say his grandma because that makes it seem like only old people like me.
Mm-hmm.
Harris Whittles would have been so proud of that tweet, that humble brag. Just one of the greats of all time by David Hasselhoff.
Okay. Josh Wiggler, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Josh, this was such an honor.
Oh, no, this is hilarious.
And a Gervais.
I can't believe that it took T-Dub to get us on a podcast together, Akiva. We need to come up with a better excuse for the next one.
Yes. Well, yeah, this took like 5 years. Hopefully the next one will be sooner than that.
Okay.
Maybe the T-Dub wand off will...
The second you said that, you probably regretted saying it.
No, it took me about a second after you said the second that I regretted it to really, truly realize, that was a mistake to put out in the universe.
All right. Josh, where can people find you?
Where can people find you?
I don't know that I want to say. If you don't know already, then it's better if you don't. So yes. I'm out there. I'm somewhere that I'm reachable.
Scroll down the exact same iTunes feed, and you will find you will find Josh. You can, up or down, a few podcasts.
And you can find Josh on Twitter. He's at Round Howard.
I'm at Pineapple Boy 27.
No, I'm that's fine. Don't give out my Twitter handle and say it's yours, Josh.
Josh, how can I get? I have 1,750 followers. How can I get to 2,000 today? What do I have to do to get to 2,000? Because you guys are big time tweeters, I have the least followers of any of like the regular RIGP, Rob. You know, like I don't know if we're like whack packers or whatever we are. But
honestly, I don't know. I'm not a huge tweeter. I think that I used to tweet.
I don't
a
want
whole
to tweet.
More.
I just want like more followers than my sister because my sister has like 4,000.
Yes,
and she's like a high school.
All right, Akiva. Well, let me give you some quick pointers. If you just care about the end result and don't care about the path, I think then either. Tweet something highly polarized, either direction politically, or tweet your undying support for one of the Big Brother showmances. And I think that the followers will come.
Oh, nice. But then I'll lose the 1,750.
You might lose the middle. Right.
But I'll gain 5,000 more.
It's a
good
trade.
Idea. Who should I stand? I don't know their names.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
All right, let's let Josh Wiggler get back to work.
Off air conversation you should record.
Yeah,
so
for $75, you can listen. Wait, we said pre-show. Can people listen to post-show also?
Sure thing. All right. Let's let Josh Wiggler
get back
to work.
Thank you so much, Josh. What an honor. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Josh.
It was a blast, guys. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Josh.
All right.
All right. Your tweets are trash. Is in the books.
Should we put it right back on the wheel?
Hey, let's hold off a little bit. Let's see what the response is.
I don't
think
there's a way to put it back on the wheel, even. Some of these podcasts you could put right back on in theory, but I don't know how you would do this one.
Yeah. Do you think that this podcast will be tweeted by T-Dub of like, hey, are these guys right or wrong? Are my tweets trash?
I don't know. We went like a little hard, but not like insanely hard. I don't think so. I think he'll tweet at us, but I don't think he'd retweet it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Keev, so your tweets are trash. We will hold off on that. Do we have a lot of submissions coming into the wheel?
Yeah, we have a lot. I'll just read a few. We could save some for a week where maybe it's a little lighter. And keep sending them in. Where do they send them into again?
Send them in to either RAANAP at robiswebsite.com or Need a Podcast. Use Need a Podcast. I'm not even sure if the RAANAP one is the real email address. Need a Podcast.
Need a Podcast.
Or Seinfeld at postshowrecaps.com.
Yeah, Need a Podcast. That's at Gmail.
But apparently,
that's at Rob is a website.
Nobody cares about Seinfeld anymore.
Yeah, I guess we also didn't even tweet about that episode. Sometimes because this podcast gets released on like Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible some weeks for it just to go completely under the radar. By Monday, it's like, all right, nobody's talking about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point was that, you know, we wanted it to be a surprise last week. So I didn't want to tweet out like, hey, new Seinfeld episode.
Right. No, for sure. For sure. But yeah, I think the Seinfeld fans were very happy. There were people who were ecstatic. I agree. There was less
did you get email?
Feedback than a normal episode. People tweeted and said like, oh, you know, the real stands of the Seinfeld podcast, I think, were all. Other than Chester, because that podcast was basically an indictment against him.
Did Chester respond?
I don't know if he even listened to it, honestly.
Okay.
He might have been. I don't know if we've heard his feelings.
I can't even get Chester.
If he has feelings. Yeah, I'm not sure.
What is Chester going to be interested in the T-Dub saga?
I think if we get too close to survive to the actual RIGP Survivor stuff, he tunes out because he thinks it's like not for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is deep into the podcast. We'll see if he.
I feel like
if he gets this far,
one day peak Twitter might be if Chester and T-Dub get into some sort of a Twitter feud.
I don't know if Chester even knows who T-Dub is.
Yeah, well, that's maybe after this.
I also thought it would be fun if we could get Chester to be like a hardcore Survivor fan. Also, it would be so fun.
Mm. Okay.
He would be sending you like theories at 3 a.m. You know, he would be like he would dive in like full heart. You know, he'd watch all 37 seasons in like a day. You know, it would be fun, but I don't know if he's ever going to get into it.
Mm, okay. All right, Keeve. So
yes.
Here we go. Let's get into some of these submissions.
So we have a complaint about last week, first of all.
Oh, boy.
So if you remember, Jamie from a few weeks ago wrote in and said that her daughter is the biggest Seinfeld fan. She knows way more than us, and she challenged you to a trivia game. And then we said that we would invite her daughter, Madeline, on to play trivia against you when we spun the wheel and got to Seinfeld's The Wizard. However, we did it live last week, so it wasn't possible. I think we did it on Halloween. I'm sure the kid was in school. It was just not an option to include the kid in the podcast.
Yeah.
But so now I don't know how we're gonna have to figure out another way. I don't know if we have other Seinfeld things that we might do in the future, but at some point we gotta get the kid on
it into an episode, no matter what we're doing.
Okay, fine.
Like, Phil, let's pick out like figure a week where it's not gonna be like a super long thing where we can our best guess, and then we'll sort of like fit it in between, the content, quote unquote, and then the wheel spin.
All right, so it'll be a bonus episode. All right, so but sorry to that, but yeah, there was the kid even noticed and was mad because it showed up in the Seinfeld feed, and the kid I guess has it on her iPhone or whatever. The kid noticed before the mom and was upset, so I had to say like no, it wasn't. We didn't forget. We just it wasn't possible because we did it live in one day. I mean, it would have been funny if it was like the first kid ever pulled out of school to like appear on a podcast in the middle. Like, imagine telling your like fourth grade teacher like, sorry. Gotta go. I challenged this like 40-year-old dude in Seinfeld trivia, and I gotta go on his podcast now.
All right.
So that's really all right. So here's the first idea. This was tweeted at us and got a lot of likes. People really liked this on Twitter. Let's see if this could go straight onto the wheel, Rob.
Okay.
We had a lot of submissions for Brand Steel. For the non-survivor people, we should have explained last week what Brand Steel is, or just the idea of it. Basically, you play out a fake season of Survivor on the podcast, and there's this website that will do a lot of this stuff for you. Rob and I have done it a few times. We used all the NFL quarterbacks. We did a season.
But we didn't do it on Brand Steel. We just simulated.
We didn't do it on Brand Steel, but the idea is very, very similar.
Yeah.
We did a Big Brother season with the Seinfeld characters, and you've done about 10 more with Game of Thrones.
I think I've done like three or four more. Yeah, yeah. Not on Brand Steel.
It felt like
that. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Brand Steel versus no Brand Steel, the idea is pretty similar. Just you're getting, you were either flipping a coin or the website's deciding for you. But the idea is you're doing a fake season of reality TV show.
Yeah.
So we said we'd do one, but the ideas last week weren't really up to snuff. So we got a bunch of ideas. But one was just so far more popular than the other ones. I'll read that one. Like one of the ideas, for example, was you do a season of Rob and his friends versus Akiva and his friends. Like, we don't each have seven friends to make up a full season. I don't know what they were talking about.
Right.
Like the Wienerker family versus the Sesternino family, even. I don't know. Like, I don't know how it
would be. Yeah, I don't know what the interest is, especially. Correspondent Andrew has made.
He's not my family.
Well, I'm thinking about it. We were doing your friends.
Oh, if my friends? Yeah, no, I don't think people would care. Yeah. Okay, so Jocelyn wrote in with an idea. Here's my idea for the Brant Steele RANAP podcast. Choose 20 characters from this, and she attaches a link, top 50 TV characters of all time list. So you cast the season, you have 50 people to cast, and then you play out the season with the after you've cast those people. What do you think about this idea? I got a lot of likes on Twitter. It's a pretty good list. You have Don Draper, you'd have Tony Soprano, Homer Simpson. What do you think about this?
I think this is a pretty good idea. I'm worried that it is going to be too long between the casting the Survivor season and then figuring out the Brant Steele of it all.
Do you like split it into 2 weeks? Do you do the casting?
I don't know if there's enough meat on the bone to... Right.
No, I don't mean make it two episodes. I mean like do the casting at the end of one episode and then come back the next week. Like, I don't... Like, do we cast it right then? When we spin the wheel, we cast it that second. And then the next week we come back with the season.
I wonder maybe if this is the episode to get Mike Bloom on, have Mike Bloom do the cast, and then we are surprised
with
the
cast. So Mike Bloom chooses, but we each get one veto. How about that? Because I don't want to, like, just be at Mike's... You know what I mean?
What I will say is it is hard to change these things on the fly. So it would be a lot of work to sub somebody out.
So you mean you have to have it loaded in?
You have to have it loaded into the system.
Okay, fine. So Mike Bloom can do it. Maybe we could beforehand say like, oh, I just don't know who the person
what
X
if,
or Y is.
How about this? When we send Mike Bloom the list, you and I each have like our three must-haves.
Ah, perfect. Okay. That's a good idea.
There's nobody that gets left on the sideline.
Okay, yeah, and then we could, like, and if he makes a bad decision, we could just be mad at him the whole time also, so that works.
Right.
All right, fine, so now we've shortened it, and you don't have to do the full 50. I mean, I saw a lot of, you don't watch The Good Place, right?
No, I do not. My wife has watched it.
So I saw, like, the Chidi, like, from The Good Place on there. There's, like, if we were casting this, we would pretty, like, if you and I were casting this ourselves, we would pretty much have the same list, give or take, like, five people, I think. Just because there's so many people that, of, like, at least one of us doesn't watch the show. It would never make it. Like, some secondary character, Paris from Gilmore Girls, is not going to make it.
Okay. Probably. You know, with all due respect.
I think we'd have the same people. All right, so Mike Bloom is actually not only on this episode, he's in charge. He's going to love this one.
Okay. All right.
So we're going to put that on the wheel, right?
Okay. So here we go.
Beautiful. The noise really brings you back to childhood. I could never hear enough of
you
that
like
noise.
That.
Is there a different noise when you get the fire versus the mushroom? Is there a fire noise?
You want me to see? Mario, fire, flower, sound effect. Yeah, I would think it's probably a different noise. Okay, here we go. This is getting the flower. Oh, that's shooting the flower. And
what's when you get hit and you go from big to small?
I don't know. I feel like this is a
Is there a noise there?
Yeah.
All right, so we got Brant Steele, Mike Bloom on the wheel. That is the 11th thing currently on the wheel.
Okay.
So the wheel's pretty stacked. There's really nothing on the wheel right now that I'm dreading.
Okay.
I think the wheel's pretty good right now. Do you agree? I think like...
Are you done adding stuff to the wheel?
No. I'm just right now you've added that. That's 11.
I mean, when was the wheel not good?
No, the wheel was always good, but you were nervous about your tweets are trash, the music videos thing. Like, there was a couple things I knew would be tough. Some of them are more work, like the... You know, the one day in the 90s was a lot of work. By the way, the T-Dub thing was a tremendous amount of work for me.
Yeah.
I went through hours of his tweets, and even making that Twitter game took a really long time because I had to come up with fake answers that were realistic. And
yeah,
I thought the bit where I gave you hard ones and then Josh easy ones would have worked better.
Mm-hmm.
But after you didn't get the first one, it sort of went haywire. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be funny if you got angry and I was just like, who is this person? Like, I am Rainn Wilson. It didn't really work.
Okay.
I had the audible. Okay. Speaking of Akiva's childhood correspondent, Andrew, he writes in with an idea that we are not going to put on the wheel, but here it is. You guys should do an oral history about oral histories. How something that was a good idea and unique, it over time has now become the single most hackneyed journalism trope in the world. The oral history about
oral
histories.
It's a funny joke.
It is a funny joke. It's obviously we're not going to do it, but it is true. I do think like oral histories used to be like you'd always read them, and now they'll do it about like a TV episode from last year or like a not so memorable NBA regular season game. They just it's a very easy way for a writer not to have like a beginning and end. They're just like using people's quotes, and it's very lazy. I think.
I mean, I think they're get posted on The Ringer every week.
Oh, no question. The Ringer has a tab for oral history, and it's like has more entries than football. People were mad last week that we didn't have a Ringer reference, so we have to throw in one more at some point to make up for last week.
Okay.
Yeah, but by the way, here's the idea. I like this one. My idea for a brand steal was Survivor Cesternino versus Whitaker, and we each cast 9 family members. I just like that he thinks that my name is Whitaker.
I like the one, I don't know if it was John Tinkham who had tweeted about this, of that it was like the your childhood closet phobias of like the Home Alone guys, E.T.,
yeah, that was funny.
Chucky.
But we've
Edward
hit those so hard. This is like nine episodes in.
But
we mentioned
then against
those like 50
all of
times
my
already.
Childhood fears of
right.
clowns.
I do think that's funny.
Laurel and Hardy, a whole bunch of different things. Charlie Chaplin.
Were you afraid of rats?
Not really.
Or snakes? You're not a snake guy?
No. Aliens.
Okay. Yeah. Well, E.T. versus an alien. They could have like a cross-tribe alliance.
But E.T. is a nice, friendly alien. I was afraid.
Yeah, you're saying the average alien is not nice?
Well,
like the stereotypical alien that's
look,
not E.T.
to all
is
the
mean?
Aliens that are listening, I am very pro-alien. Mm-hmm. But I used to watch a lot
of
shows.
Yeah, we are pro-alien podcast.
In the 90s, there was a lot of talk about alien abduction, where that you would be sleeping, and then the aliens would come down and then abduct you.
Yeah.
So that would be, I was very scared of alien abduction.
Wouldn't that have been cool, though?
No, it's not cool. Nobody has rarely, once in a while, there's like a penthouse forum version of it. But no, that 99.9% of the alien abduction stories are horrible.
Yeah, well, why don't they just kill you then? Like, are they going to bring you back, you think? Like, what's their game plan? They're just going to study your brain?
They put you back. Yeah, they probe you.
You know that like recurring SNL sketch? That's one of the only recurring sketches they have now. It's like not that funny. And they overlaugh during it. It's like, not Kristen Wiig. What's the other? Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, they have like
two people had like good experiences, and then she was like violated always, but like is bragging about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Travis says, based on last week's Kevin Bacon.
About that,
you can imagine like, all right, Lauren, I know I only have 30 seconds of your time. I want to ask you about the worst recurring sketch in SNL history. That's not It's Pat. Oral history of It's Pat we could do. Travis is based on last week's Kevin Bacon idea, I propose a game called WikiLinks. The idea is you both come up with a list of random Wikipedia pages and number them. You start on one page and attempt using links within the articles to get to the other person's page within the corresponding number. Example, Rob would have plaid as his page, Akiva would have cereal as his page, and you talk through the logic and linked pages to attempt to get to one another. Now, here's what I have to say about this idea. It would be, if we were like sitting in the same room, it would be a very fun game to play against each other.
Yeah.
But it's not a podcast because it's completely visual and only interesting to the people playing the game.
Yeah.
But I do like the original. I do think it's a funny idea. Like if it would be like a game I would play with Chester if we were like bored during the day. Like, all right, how many clicks can it take you to get from one thing to another on Wikipedia is actually interesting. To me, at least.
Sure.
But it's not a podcast.
Sure. I don't think there's enough there for a podcast.
No. Alan from BC says, here's my idea. Listen live to the first Seinfeld podcast and pause it periodically to discuss your feelings, what you were thinking at the time. Obviously, it doesn't have to be the first episode, but I thought it'd be interesting because you guys didn't really know each other very well at that point.
I don't know.
Should we do a podcast listening to that podcast and analyze it?
I mean, I think it's fun to experiment, but if that came up on the wheel next week, you know, if that was an idea like in the 30s or 40s of this podcast.
So we're pushing all of our wild out there, probably bad ideas to the 20s, 30s, and 40s. So I'm going to put it in the wheel waiting room.
I mean, this is episode number 9. I think we have maybe 3 good ones, 3 not so great ones, and, you know, a couple of so-so ones. I just don't think that we can afford another abject disaster.
Fine. So live analysis of Seinfeld thing in the wheel waiting room, which now has like 20 things in it.
That's fine. It's like the Beetlejuice waiting room.
Yeah. Okay. I do think it's a funny idea. I agree. We can't do it yet, especially Seinfeld related thing we just did.
Mm-hmm. But we could have the little girl on to do trivia.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine because that wouldn't be a full episode. Here, speaking of a guy getting too cute, here's Kyle getting too cute. Sticking with your newfound wizard theme from last week, how about you discuss the Washington Wizards, whether it's this season or historically? You could even do season 3, game 7 of the Washington Wizards.
Okay.
So we'd watch an old NBA game and commentate about it.
So when we say season 3 of the Washington Wizards, would it be after they changed over from the Bullets?
Yes, after they changed their name from the Bullets to the Wizards. So that would be the late 90s? Oh, was it already in the 2000s when they did that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when they did that.
I'll check. But in the meantime, does that idea have any appeal to you? We'd
absolutely
be watching an old...
None.
Yeah. Now, you're not a bad... It is kind of a funny idea, like watching an old basketball game. But I don't know. Here's a trivia question for you. Have the Wizards ever won a championship? The Wizards franchise, not just the Wizards.
They have not won a championship as the Wizards, but have the Bullets won a championship? That I could not tell you.
Okay. Yeah, they have. It's like the most, probably one of the most anonymous championships in NBA history, but they did. They're the 1978 champions. So it was 97 the Wizards started playing. So season 3, episode 7 will be the 1999 Washington Wizards.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that would be a hard pass for me.
I do wish, I agree with you, but I do wish you like basketball more. How could we get you into basketball more?
I don't know. I mean, does the Ringer have a job offer for me?
Yeah. I'm going to name the most famous guys on the 1999 Washington Wizards, and you tell me if you've heard of them, okay?
Okay.
Richard Hamilton.
No.
You know him?
No.
Really? He was a really... First of all, I'm a UConn fan, so he was one of our best players ever, and he had a very long NBA career. Juwan Howard.
Yes.
How do you know him?
I have heard the name.
He's from the Fab Five.
Okay.
And then the only... Mitch
Queer
Richmond.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
What, is there a guy Juwan Howard? No, oh, the no. Fab Five. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But that shows Rob's level of basketball knowledge, that when he hears Fab Five, he thinks TV show on Bravo.
Yes.
Mitch Richmond, you don't know?
I've heard the name.
And last one, Rod Strickland.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he was a Nick when we were growing up, so you might not know him. Okay, not a great team, the 99 Wizards. Maybe there's a lot of comedy gold there.
There is no potential for this as a podcast. Okay. was not clear enough.
I don't actually think we're going to do it. Now, Drew said that Robin Akiva should take the Myers-Briggs 16 personality types test, but did I just see today that you just took this test?
Yeah, this came up on one of the patron podcasts where for a while that there had been requests for Nicole and I to take the Myers-Briggs personality test. It's not something that I find especially interesting, but there are some people that are riveted by Myers-Briggs personality type test results.
Yeah. I've never taken one, so, and I don't even know what what it would mean.
Yes. So if anybody's curious, I was an INTJ.
I think that's like the most famous one, just because that's the only one I could have named, but I don't know. Is there an ENT also or something?
Yeah, yeah. You're either
I don't know what they mean.
You're either an N or an S. You're either a T or an F, and there's 16 possible ones that you could be. Has anybody done the Brant Steele with the Myers-Briggs personality types?
Yeah, we'll get somebody on.
Yeah, but no, I don't think there's enough there of like, Akiva. Turns out he's
And we also already have a similar podcast when Rob and Akiva go to Hogwarts. We're taking a test and figuring out what we are.
Yes, maybe. So maybe before you go into your sorting hat, then you should take the Myers-Briggs personality test to see.
Well, maybe at Hogwarts they would make the Harry Potters and the Ron Weasleys of the world like take that test. I told my dad because he's such a big Harry Potter fan that we were doing that, and I said, hey, did you ever take that test? And he looked at me like if you ever asked me like, hey Akiva, if you ever watched the Met game, like it was the most obvious thing in the world. And then I'm like, oh, let me guess your house. And he was like even more insulted because apparently it was so obvious what his this is a grown man,
because he's a big
stan. Like he's a mature person, like other than this he's not like he doesn't even watch TV or movies, he's like very busy. He's not like into fandoms, but he was so like shocked that I wouldn't know. So he's a Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
And it was like it was supposedly very obvious, but I don't know. Anyway, so we talked last week about can you be your own mailman? I don't know how it came up, but we were discussing it last week. Can you be your own mailman?
It came up. Was it during the Seinfeld podcast? It must have been something where Newman.
Yeah, I mean, there was no Newman last week, but I guess we mentioned it in some capacity. Yeah. When we were talking about, because they went to the mail room, something with the key or something. So Oh, yeah, because Jerry needed people to get his mail. That's where it was from.
Right.
So Sean, a listener, is a mailman. I think there was multiple. I think Bob, who's also a mailman, wrote in. So we have multiple mailman listeners.
Yeah, I feel like I saw no feedback about the overall podcast, but like five tweets about can you be your own mailman?
It was big. We're huge with mailmen. Hey, Robin Akiva, you know what? Maybe the podcast title was too confusing for people also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we do it backwards. What does that mean? Like, I don't, maybe we should have been like, I don't know. I'm not saying you did the wrong thing. I would have said, made it the same way. I just, maybe we weren't clear enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Robin Akiva, just listen to the backwards episode. I thought it was great. So Sean disagrees. But you can absolutely be your own mailman. It's the best because you always know where your lunch and your break is going to be. That's smart. Oh, so you take the break at your own house midway.
That's, use your own bathroom. Sure.
Yeah. Use your own bathroom. Anyway, how about doing season 3, episode 7 of Bob's Burgers?
Are you a Bob's Burgers
fan?
No,
I've never seen it. My high school sister, my baby sister, says it's her favorite show. But I've never seen an episode. I don't even know what it's about, other than maybe burgers.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
I have not seen it. I know people like it, but I do not feel like that we would be watching it ironically. And I don't feel like that it is iconic. And I think we're just going to annoy people that really like Bob's Burgers.
Right. What if we had my little sister, who's probably not funny, on the podcast to join us?
It could be worth it, because then we could ask her questions, and I think then, you know, if she gets,
well, she wouldn't even
you,
know the answers,
right?
She, like, what are you gonna ask about my childhood? She wasn't alive. I feel like
at least that would be a hook of, we're gonna talk about Bob's Burgers, and Akiva's sister actually knows about Bob's Burgers.
Sure. Yes.
You know, like, if there was a show that, you know, my wife or your wife loves, and we were going to watch an episode, and then they were going to be on the podcast also to get mad at us not knowing things.
Right. So you think is that podcast worthy to involve Kayla in the podcast?
It would not be my first choice, but I
okay. Well, we don't have to. It's not like I offered it to her and she doesn't listen to this. She'll never know.
We could put it on a ping pong ball.
Okay, fine. Ping pong ball it. Put it on season 3, episode 7, because, right, that's what it is. Bob's Burgers. With Kayla Wienerker.
Okay. Are we into picking out season 3, episode 7s? Are we up to that now?
I mean, yeah. Oh, there's one more. That was sort of a halfway idea. One more regular idea. Justin Ramsey says, here's a Wheel Brand Steel idea. The participants are people and characters from previous RANAP episodes. So it would be Eagle Eye Cherry, Balky Bartomakamis, the Leprechaun, Eric Tomlinson. Or is it too early in the run show? Just do Seinfeld characters.
That's,
we already
funny.
Did that, Justin.
That's funny. But that's like the type of thing that somebody could just like do it and then just.
Yeah, no, obviously we're not going to do that.
Like,
I just thought it was a really funny idea.
Funny
like,
idea.
Yeah, it's like every time I see Eric Tomlinson, I have a special place in my heart for him. But he's also the worst player in the entire NFL and does not belong on an NFL team. He's like, if I was trying to block people, that's what him trying to block people looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But he also can't catch. So he's like sort of out there to block or catch the ball. They'll like. He gets so many, anyone who hates the Jets talk, we'll be done in 10 seconds. He gets so many snaps every game where he's on the field that are just wasting everyone's time. He's so bad.
Yeah.
It's almost scary how bad he is.
Yeah, but it is funny every time his name gets mentioned because I think about that.
Yeah, I have a warm spot in my heart for him, but I also hope he gets cut and never plays professional football again.
From one of the three so-so episodes of RANAP.
Drew says, all right, we're up to season 3, episode 7. With a current lack of JTT coverage on RANAP until we pick the JTT podcast, you should watch season 3, episode 7 of Home Improvement. It's titled Blow Up. Should we put Home Improvement on the wheel?
I'm fine with that because it could be.
Okay. I was just going to say, like,
way,
we could have back to back JTT episodes one way or the other.
I think either one is fine.
Yeah, and I do think it has some nostalgia, but again, no super fans. So I think it's a perfect episode.
Yeah.
And it's only 22 minutes, not 40. I think it's a perfect thing to put on the wheel.
Because it would be a good prequel to the JTT stuff if we did the Home Improvement one first.
Correct.
And then it would be a good follow-up if we, unless
it would be a good sequel.
JTT podcast gets picked, is widely hated, then we could pull the Home Improvement.
Could be. That's a tough one.
Pull the Home Improvement ball from the fish
Like
ball.
People have just such a sour spot for JTT because the podcast was so bad.
Now, Keeve, last time on the podcast, I believe we pulled the ball for season 3, episode 7.
Of Serial.
Yeah, of Serial, right, from the fish tank. So I would like to propose a couple of balls that I'd like to have removed.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I want to hear.
Okay. Number one, I propose to remove the comedians in cars getting coffee ball.
Fine with me. Fine with me. And if people, a real loyal listener will remember, that was like one of the first ideas. And by the way, yours, not mine, about the podcast. And we almost did a podcast that was just about comedians in cars getting coffee, which I would have just like never disappeared from the world before, yeah. by episode
no,
like four.
Honestly, I kind of feel like that the weekly, it doesn't come out that often, but the it's different enough every single week that we would be able to, you know, find like different tangents to go off on.
I just think we wouldn't mention it. I think it would just be like a chat show.
It would be sort of like a way to get into IMD bags and different tangents.
So. That episode was Howard Stern, so we would have ended up just talking about Howard Stern the whole time.
Yeah,
I think.
So I don't know if that's necessarily the funniest thing in the world to talk about Howard Stern.
What else are you taking out? Okay.
And then also that we have season 3, episode 7 of the Seinfeld podcast currently in the fish.
Well, now, if you think about it, that's really the same idea we just read.
Yes. So what I'd like to do is if we're not doing, you know, episode 1 of the Seinfeld podcast, I don't think we should do season 3, episode 7 of the Seinfeld podcast.
I think the only episodes that we should ever do, if we were going to do them, let's say in a hypothetical world where this podcast lasted a long time, would be either the first episode or like the last one, meaning the live show.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones that would be even like mildly interesting.
Sometimes we get on here and it's like, oh, that's a funny idea. Okay, sure. But then like, you know, sort of like...
practice of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the light of day, then maybe it wasn't that great of an idea.
Mm. All right. So one more season 3, episode 7 thing for today. We have an idea about doing American Gladiators from Jeff in Iowa.
Now, how would we find a season 3, episode 7 of American Gladiators?
I don't know. And also, I have no familiarity. So there'd have to be something that you were really into.
It could be funny, but I don't know if there's enough to talk about what's going on where it's like, okay, Nitro is jousting against the...
Yeah, I don't even know who these people are. And also, like, I feel like the show came back to, like, very muted response, so I don't think people care about it anymore.
Right.
You know. I think people are still like, season 3, episode 7, American Gladiators, I think that's a skip for someone who's like 50-50 on these shows.
I think it was fine at the time, but I don't know how necessarily if there's enough nostalgia or excitement to go back and watch it.
Okay, one more thing. This is not season 3, episode 7. Antonio Mazzaro sent in an idea, and it's called Survivor Choose Your Own Adventure.
Okay.
And what it is it's a... it's a book that's a choose your own adventure thing, and it's basically a fake season of Survivor. It's I don't know much about it. All I know about it is from its Amazon page. It says 28 days, 10 castaways, one sole survivor. Who will it be? You decide. So I don't know if we're voting, if we're the jury. I don't know how it works. But basically, it's a paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it under choose your own adventure branding?
It's not. It's under activities, crafts, and games.
Okay.
The age range is
the brand,
for 8 to 11
year
olds.
That's the category it's under in Amazon.
That's the category in Amazon. Okay. I don't see anything about Choose Your Own Adventure on the book.
Okay. I do really like the idea of Choose Your Own Adventure. I feel like that we've talked about it before. Was there a reason why this did not get on the wheel, or was this in the wheel waiting room?
No, he sent it in, but I haven't read the idea. Haven't got to it.
I mean, does it need to be the Survivor theme? Because I kind of feel like that it's a funny idea.
We had this idea in the wheel waiting room as a choose your own adventure. Correct. But this is he found this book. I guess this is him following up. He found Survivor of the Amazon. But I don't believe this book features you. I think it's probably fake names.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Fine. I'm definitely into it. I'm just wondering, like... Journey to Frankenstein's Castle. Is that more fun than necessarily Survivor?
Right. And also the issue with this is we're gonna have to wait on this for a week because I would even have to look at how available, because this one is like it's like $26 plus we need two of them. I would want to see if there's like a more normal one. I guess you could just read it. But I mean, also, like, I'm not going to buy it just for it to be on the wheel. You'd have to buy it, like, when we spin it that week.
Right. So,
I don't know.
I'm sure that, you know, if this came up, I don't know, if this particular item is not widely available, then we could get any Choose Your Adventure book, you know, Amazon Prime, 2 days shipping, and have it here.
Right. Okay.
So I like this idea.
You want to pick a different book, you're saying. So maybe
I'm wondering if it might be more interesting to have a different book. Like,
all right, so people, send us a funny choose your own adventure book for next week.
Do we want like a kids one, or do we want this?
Either one. I think as long as the topic is interesting, I think we'll be okay.
Okay. Let's see.
I guess ideally an adult one, but.
Whoa. Like. No, like
just not
one?
One that's for. Oh. No, not an R-rated okay. one. Just not a book that's for.
Okay. Not alien abduction, though.
No, not into that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's spin the wheel.
Oh, so did we add Choose Your Own Adventure to the...
No, put that in the waiting room. Choose Your Own Adventure in the waiting room, along with live analysis of Seinfeld. We didn't get any good actor versus actor submissions either to put that on. But we do, like, to beat the Kate Winslet versus Kate Blanchett idea. So we did add the Brant Steele Mike Bloom podcast to the wheel, and we added Home Improvement to season 3, episode 7. We took off the Seinfeld thing, and we took off Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Anything Jerry Seinfeld related, we took off this week.
Okay. I'm just looking at the Choose Your Own Adventure books for ages 9 through 12. Let me tell you some titles and tell me if you think.
Okay, sure. Yes.
All right. Avoiding the sponsored posts. There's a 4-pack, The Abominable Snowman, Journey Under the Sea, Space and Beyond, Lost Jewels of Nibuti. A lot of these seem to be in 4-packs.
Yeah. Maybe like someone is a big Choose Your Own Adventure fan and they could sort of steer us in a good direction.
Terror on the Titanic.
Ooh, are you a big Titanic? Well, yeah. Then we need to get T-Dub involved because that's like a James Cameron thing.
It all comes down to ties it all together. Yeah, a lot of these seem like they're 4-packs. Let's see. Legend on the Star Runner. I don't know what that is. Space and Beyond. You don't like that one.
Yeah, you know that I hate space. That you know.
Yeah. House of Danger. Okay. All right, we'll think about it. Let's keep it in the waiting room, and then maybe somebody can really nail it.
Okay.
Okay. If there's one that's like, oh my God, we have to talk about that one. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. All right, let's spin away.
All right.
You want to quickly remind everyone what's on the wheel?
Yes. Today, we added the Brant Steele TV Top 50 with Mike Bloom to the wheel. Last time out, we added the retelling of Star Wars to Akiva.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then we have the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, where Akiva and I are going to find out what houses we belong to and all things Harry Potter. We have the Rise and Fall of JTT. We have the Oregon Trail. We have Akiva's Choice. We have Rob's Choice. We have Kids Shows Are Trash. Season 3, Episode 7, the Dad Cast, Dad Know-It-Alls, and CSI New York, where we will break down one episode of CSI New York and come on in between each of the parts. Now, Akiva, we had said that we were going to make the Season 3, Episode 7 larger every time it did not get picked.
Correct.
Are you still on board to make it
worth... Yeah, it's four spots this week.
Four spots.
It's still not going to get picked. It's like the Jets winning a championship. You'd think mathematically it would have to happen at some point, but it won't.
Okay. So at this point, it is occupying a huge section of the wheel. Over 25% of the wheel is now the Season 3, Episode 4
And if we were each going to commit to using our choices on it, almost half the wheel.
Okay. All right, Keith. Are you ready for this wheel spin?
Yes, and if there's a new listener, maybe they're just here for Josh Wigler and they stuck around. We each get one veto in each calendar year, so it's 2018. The year is almost over. We haven't used our veto, so who knows? Okay. I'm eyeing a veto on one of these things. I don't know about you.
Okay. All right, let's see. Here we go. Here comes the wheel spin for the week.
Bum, bum, bum,
all right.
Bum, bum.
Here we go. And it's coming around.
Could this be the week?
Oh, Keith, that we were a millimeter away from season 3, episode 7.
What'd we get?
Dad Cast, aka
oh boy,
Dad Know-It-Alls.
Dad Know-It-Alls. Okay, I think people will like that.
I think people will like that. Okay.
I also think with the Dad Cast, that is of all our ideas something that could happen multiple times if it was good.
Okay, so let's reset what this idea was going to be, Keith.
Yes.
What should the listeners do?
I think they should write in and ask us. We're giving out parenting advice.
Yes.
And we'll maybe tell a couple parenting stories also.
Yes.
Like a dad corner.
We are looking for either advice questions or what would you have done in this situation? How do I mm-hmm. handle this when it comes up again?
Yeah.
All sorts of dad things. Now, is this dad thing?
And by the way, moms can write in too, right? It's not for just for dads. We're dads, but the listeners don't have to be dads. The listeners could be parents or any type of guardian or anything and write in.
Yeah. Okay. Because this really...
Because otherwise, we're eliminating half our potential writer inners.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think that we're specifically looking for, you know, how would the dad handle the situation?
True.
We're not moms.
Absolutely.
We're not moms.
We're not moms.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. But it could parenting advice could be universal in a lot of scenarios.
Yes.
And also, like, who knows? We might get zero submissions, so... Why cut it in half the amount of people who are allowed to send it in? So women can definitely send in anything they want also.
Yeah. And I know the way I would handle a problem is not necessarily the way my wife would handle the same problem.
Sure.
So, okay.
Sure.
All right. Kiva, that's what's coming up next time. Send us your emails, needapodcast@robiswebsite.com or Seinfeld@postshowrecaps.com. We have been recording these on Wednesday morning, so be on the lookout for that. Send those into us by November 14th at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right.
Wow. Yeah, season 3, episode 7, just cannot get picked. Pretty crazy.
It is crazy. That has not come up yet. Defying the odds. Okay. Kiev, we'll talk about some reviews and some feedback, but let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor here for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends from betonline.ag, Kiev, the presenting sponsor of the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge, where I have moved into a tie for third place, Kiev.
Wow. Who's ahead of you?
Only Ross Tucker and Scott Braun. That's it. Third place.
All right. Are you within striking distance of them?
Certainly.
I feel like you.
I mean, yeah.
Them.
I mean, it's right. Week 10, and I'm 2 points back. So
I think you could do it.
I mean, you know, if some people have a bad week, you know, the issue is that the games are getting a little more predictable. Like in the beginning of the season, there was a lot of upsets.
Right, because you don't know who's good. Now there's like 8 huge spreads this week that probably you'd go 7-1 if you picked all of them.
Right, right. So that's what's going on. So let me give you my picks here for this week. All right, here are my picks for week number 10, Keeve. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs at home hosting the Arizona Cardinals. That's one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a layup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a layup.
Okay.
That's a slam dunk.
Give me the Rams at home hosting the Seahawks coming off of a bad loss. They'll be mad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Chargers on the road at the Raiders.
Yeah, they're big favorites there.
Okay.
The Raiders have given up.
Give me the Packers. They are at home hosting the Dolphins, who are coming off of a very ugly
win. I mean, when
win.
We see the Dolphins, they look like the Patriots. But in general, the Dolphins are bad,
yes.
So that's fine.
And I did promise Jordan Kalish that I would take the Jets here. And especially that with Josh McCown starting, I think it feels...
I think they have a better chance of winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking news during the podcast.
Yeah, I think that should be good. I'll make the Chiefs the lock of the week. Okay. There you go. All right. Of course, that's the Podcast One Sportsnet Challenge. If I win $5,000 to the charity of my choice, which would be really spectacular if that was to play out, you can get in on all of the action when you go to betonline.ag. You get the 50% sign-up bonus with the promo code PODCAST1. Keev, we're at the midway point in the NFL. Can you believe it?
It's very depressing. 9 weeks from now, there'll be only a couple football games, and about 12 weeks from now, there'll be no football, and I'll have, you know, basically no reason to be awake during the, you know, day until September.
The Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, the Patriots, all looking good in college football. You got Alabama, clearly the best team in the country. Again, I don't know if T-Dub would dispute that. Notre Dame, Clemson, UCF, all remain undefeated, sitting in the top 10. Of course, there's only one place to get on all the action, betonline.ag. Don't wait any longer. Use promo code PODCAST1 to get a 50% sign-up bonus. In the NBA, Milwaukee, Toronto, and the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors, all starting off on a very high note. How are the Wizards doing, Keith?
They are one of the worst teams in the NBA. They're like 2 in a million.
Okay. And then in the NHL, Nashville, Toronto, Pittsburgh are off to a hot start. What about Josh Wigler's Rangers?
They're playing okay. They're rebuilding right now, but they're not like a complete disaster yet.
Great sweatshirts, though.
They've got good merch, the Rangers. I'll give them that.
Don't miss out on any of the incredible action. Go to betonline.ag. Use promo code PODCAST1 for that 50% sign-up bonus. Your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of the Podcast One Sports Net. Keev, any other email or feedback from last week's show?
No, not really. I think people are going to be stunned by the season 3, episode 7 thing. I think people are just like...
I'll take a screenshot. It was like a millimeter away from coming up. I thought we had it this week.
It's funny because we have like 20. We have more things in the ping pong balls than actually on the wheel.
Yeah,
we gotta get the wheel, you know, closer to like 20. Also,
okay. For anybody looking to leave us a rating and review, we are up to 87 ratings for the Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. We greatly appreciate those. Closing in, like, you think we can get to triple digits?
I think we should by next week. I think I should get to 2,000 followers. The podcast gets to 100 reviews. Then we could retire.
Okay. All right. Here are some of the more recent reviews of the Robin Akiva Need a Podcast in the Apple Podcast Store. And again, we can only see the U.S. results. I'm sure that many of our great Canadian listeners and listeners around the world, worldwide audience, listening to RAANAP. This is one from Madi, who says, I'm just leaving this review because I think Akiva needs to be on News AF with the rest of the gang. That is all. From October 30th.
So leave reviews if you have programming advice for Rob.
Yeah. And then...
So does he want this podcast to end? He's giving it 5 stars, but is he like, he wants this podcast to end and then just, I'm like the fourth wheel on News AF in this scenario?
Yeah. Well, you're used to being on the wheel.
Okay. Is that what he was thinking?
Yes. Let's see. Did we do this one? This is from Walt Reed. Only a few more reviews to catch Joe Rogan.
And we might have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, send us some fresh new reviews. Make sure you're in the United States so we could see them.
All right. Well, or I mean, leave reviews in your country, too.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. But you do the IP block. I think you could see all the reviews. I just don't think you see the number. I think you see what the reviews are.
You do? Okay.
I have no idea. I'm just guessing.
All right. So there you have it, Akiva. Fun times today. Are you glad you got the podcast with Josh Wigler? Can you cross that off?
I think
your list?
It was a goal. It was such a thrill to finally. I've spoken to him so few times in my life. But we're like sort of intertwined this way. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
I didn't want to out the story. Does he know the story about how that you were mistaken for Josh Wigler recently?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone like tweeted at him. I think it would be really bad for anyone's self esteem. To know that someone else thought that I, like, he's got a nice full head of hair and I don't, and he's in better shape
than me.
Maybe
you wear a hat.
I wear a hat. I wear a hat, but like, I only wear a hat because of my bad head of hair. My yarmulke no longer covers enough of my balding head for it to be like, I mean, I wear a yarmulke a lot of the time. It's like 50-50.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be good for his self-esteem. Nobody tell him that. There's no reason. He should never know that.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can get you one of like the DeGrom hats that also are not just a hat, but also like a flowing head of hair. Although
people gave us those at the Seinfeld finale.
Hat. Yeah.
Syndergaard hat. And my daughter uses it, but my daughter has the exact same hair as Noah Syndergaard, like very long blonde hair. So like sometimes I can't even tell.
And
which
DeGrom
one's
no longer has flowing hair.
No, he cut it. But Syndergaard, I think, still has.
You know, look, Syndergaard maybe should cut his hair. It helped DeGrom.
It's true. Syndergaard sort of regressed a tiny bit this year. So the Mets people can shut it off now because we're done. But I do think this podcast could just become a full time complaining about Tim Tebow on the Major League Roster podcast. In April, if that's what happens.
Yeah. Did you listen to Mike Francesa complaining about Brody Van Wagenen saying that Tim Tebow could be on the Mets this year?
I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I said to you, like, any GM would have immediately come and gotten rid of Tim Tebow, except the guy they hire is the one person on earth who is his agent. So he will never cut him and, in fact, will promote him. What a ridiculous... I just hate them so much.
I mean, but I am no baseball GM or sabermetrician, but if Tim Tebow, as the 25th man on a roster, brings in $15 million of revenue. Like, what is that worth?
Will he bring in $15 even?
I don't know. Is he? But let's say, hypothetically, he's okay. A draw at the box office.
Yes.
I mean, how many?
Well, maybe the Mets should sign Donald Trump to be their 25th man.
Well, look. Like
Kim Kardashian. Like, whoever the most famous person is, people will buy their jersey.
You know, instead of a replacement level person as the 25th mm-hmm. man on your bench, if you had a person that brought in $15 million of revenue, and then you can mm-hmm. have three war player on your roster that you wouldn't otherwise have. Like, I am a realist. Like, let's look at
everything
together.
But the Wilpons will just pocket that money.
Okay, well, I don't know.
They won't spend it. It's an interesting idea.
I have faith.
We could have this conversation off air, and then we'll sell it to the $75 patron level for people who like to listen to our conversations before and afterwards.
That's good. Okay. All right. Are we just do all Tebow podcasts and then have that as a subscription for all the Tebow
fans?
There
is a great Tebow oral history. Speaking of oral histories, everything ties together here. It's called The Year of Magical Stinking, and it's about Tim Tebow's incredible run with the Broncos, and it's like you forget every week he gets worse and worse, but they keep winning in mm-hmm. absurd ways. But he's like, you know, throwing interceptions to himself. He's just doing insane things, like completing two passes in a whole game, but they're winning on a fumble. So I recommend people go and read that if they need some reading material.
We're going to do an oral history of the 2012 Jets season.
We could do that. We could also do an oral history of that oral history. Or maybe my friend Andrew could do the oral history of oral histories that he planned. That we'll oral history that as like a third dimension type thing.
Okay. All right, Keeve. Great work. We will be back next time with more. Robin Akiva, need a podcast.
Bye.